much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Stay off the f***ing set, man. For f***'s sake. Right, let's go again. Let's not take a f***ing minute. Let's go again!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I myself am a drummer, so and I've been lucky to have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz, and he loves all sorts of stuff. I'm not closed-minded, but that aside, let me see what else we can talk about here.
Where's the outrage there?
It's statements like that that make people say women are stupid.
Holla!
I could never eat this much meat.
That's not what I hear.
I kind of want to watch this in 3D. Does that make me bad?
Yep.
And now.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All I got to do is look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! Our feature presentation.
106.7. Hold on.
Come on.
106.7. K-Rock is KROQ. It's 532.
That is juicy and delicious.
That's what are we having?
What she said.
What are we having?
Chocolate covered strawberries.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Bugs,
beer mug. Help yourself.
I have one with a decorative swirl.
Look, no, I was just telling Lisa, I was like, whatever Kevin brings in, it will not faze me.
Yes.
Chocolate covered strawberries might be my only weakness.
It is kind of a healthy treat.
I was just telling Chip in the other room, he's got to have a weakness. We got to find it.
Oh, my God.
Because, look, this is 95% strawberry.
Yeah, that's
true.
It's just
fruit is
all
it is.
You can eat
fruit.
Just a touch of chocolate.
What if I take the chocolate off?
No, well, you can, but it won't make any difference in your diet, really. It's because it's so small. Go get one.
Yeah, and it'll taste 100 times better if you have the chocolate on it.
Mm-hmm. It's just for flavoring. It's not fat.
That's very generous of Kevin, once again, to bring in treats that your mug can share.
There's
that's
a plate nice. Of them, right? Go grab
him.
One.
I see him.
Well, just have one. Get over with.
Wow. Help yourself, Mugs.
Listen Mugs to is, him eat.
You're Mugs rude. Is on a diet, and Kevin has money on it, in case you're just wondering what's going on here.
You're a rude bastard.
I know.
Lose
you went 30 out of
pounds
your way.
By
I mean,
June
these
1st.
Are cold and
exactly.
delicious.
Mm, yeah. Fresh.
Good times. It's a Thursday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm going to talk here, Mugs, but don't let that stop you from eating. Help yourself. It's called Klein-Levin syndrome, KLS, and apparently it is a real thing. It kind of turns you into a sleep zombie. There's a story in the news about a young lady who's gorgeous, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Alana Wong, and she is British, and she has this KLS disorder. It started for her when she was about 14 years old, when classmates found her curled up sound asleep in the girls' bathroom at school. And they couldn't figure out what that was all about, and she woke up and had no memory of it. And over the years, they have determined that this is what she has. This is Klein-Levin syndrome. She falls into a trance, basically. It's like a sleep zombie disorder. She falls into a trance. Sometimes she can sleep for up to 18 hours at a time.
Wow.
No.
She throws enormous and terrifying to her friends and family tantrums. She has very little memory of what she does during it and likes to have sex a lot while she is under the spell.
It's the perfect disease.
Usually a polite, healthy, clean-living girl, she becomes rude and argumentative. Healthy eating goes out the window as she gorges on junk food. There was a 3-week episode where she gained 14 pounds, eating almost nothing but pizza and chocolate and ice cream. 14 pounds in 3 weeks she gained. She also engages in promiscuous behavior almost every time she is under, and when she emerges, she has no memory of the disturbing events that have passed.
So when you say zombie-like sleep, she's still, it's like sleepwalking.
Yes,
yes.
Okay. So could you wake her?
Well, I mean, as usual, thanks Daily Mail, there aren't as many details as I would like in this article. It sounds like you can't. It sounds like she's under. You know, like she's in a trance is what it sounds like. But how weird that she has no memory. And I guess, is this true of sleepwalkers, too? If they do things in their sleep, they don't remember it the next day,
yeah,
right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She apparently lost her virginity at age 15 to her boyfriend of 6 months, something she said she was horrified to find out afterwards because, A, she had no memory of losing her virginity, and, B, she said she never would have done that if she had not been in a trance.
And they did it 18 times that night.
Well, possibly.
It's a weird thing.
Her boyfriend did not understand her condition, by the way, and broke up with her soon afterwards.
Well, it'd be scary if you didn't know what was happening.
Absolutely, yeah. She says it's very difficult for her to date because boys always think that she's drunk. Everything goes blurry, and she has sex without remembering it. And
I know all about that.
What would happen, and that she is so embarrassed. But anyway, there's something for you to look up when you get to work today. Klein-Levin syndrome, KLS. You need to look up and find out about it and see if you can get it, apparently. Because
yeah. Like you deal. Order it? You get to eat everything you want. You get to have sex with everyone.
And you can sleep 18 hours a day. Can you order it online? Or?
Well, it doesn't say here that it's available for sale, but they do say that they haven't figured out a way to cure it yet. But they are hoping that, you know, it will disappear as rapidly as it appeared. And it'll just be one of those things that goes away. But that'd be a tough thing to live with your whole life, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's funny for the rest of us, but not for the person that has it.
Oh, you got to see pictures of Miss Wong, though. I'm telling you what.
Miss Wong brings it?
She sure does. She's a good choice to have the sleep zombie disorder.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
No, 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 you are fat.
That doesn't have anything to do with it. We can still have a show and be fat.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, come on now. Let's talk about weird parental punishments today. We were talking yesterday about the dad that found the kid who put up the message on Facebook about how she's not a slave and all this kind of stuff. And she thought she hid it from her dad, but her dad's in IT.
Yeah.
So he found it. And while she was gone, he took her laptop and took his rifle or pistol or something.
He took a 45.
And just started shooting shot holes in it. He's like,
and one was from the mom, he said, and your mom said, put one in there for you, for her, because of what you said about her. You know, one of the things I found out yesterday is that he had spent, he said, 6 hours and $130 updating her computer the day before.
Wow.
And then all she did was go on Facebook and bitch about how crappy her life was and how bad her parents were and that they made her do chores.
And they told her to get a job, and she said, how about this? Why don't you pay me for all the stuff you make me do?
Oh, wow.
She sounds like a
brat.
So
she was bratty.
Yeah.
He got back at her by shooting her computer up. And you know what? It's been interesting to see how people have reacted to this because there are people who are horrified and say it's completely there's no way to defend it. And then there are others who said, good for him. Way to send that message. She deserves it. This is a wake-up call for her.
Bitch got no class.
So
heard debate about a gun. That's bad. But a baseball bat would have been better. I'm like, he's in Texas.
Yeah.
Take out your 45.
Texas, you can't do anything but take out your 45.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Everyone has a gun. I'm sure she has a gun. Mom has a gun. They all have guns.
You want to buy a Coke? You still have to take out your gun and show it to them. That's how it works. Also on today's show, we have Brian Deegan.
Yes, we do.
Talking about a monster jab. We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Oh, we're losing Dr. Drew, guys.
Are we?
What do you mean?
Yes.
Why are we losing him?
He's turning into one of those crazy guys who yells on TV. Pretty soon he's going to start sleeping out on Sunset Boulevard.
Love it.
He is so furious at what happened to Whitney Houston, and he's shaking people. He doesn't think people are getting the message that when your doctor says, don't take this prescription medicine with alcohol, he says so many people go, what's the worst that could happen?
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's looking at this as an opportunity to say, this is the worst that could happen. Don't do it. He's really upset by the fact that people allowed her to do this.
Well, allowed her can only go so far, though, too.
Well, I mean,
she wants to do it. She can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Yeah. I mean, she certainly made the choices. But when, you know, when TMZ has photos of her drinking out by the pool starting at 10 o'clock in the morning,
he
feels like there should have been somebody that should have said, hey, you know what? You are taking Xanax and you are taking this other stuff. Don't drink. It's going to hurt you.
Says right there on the bottle. Don't do that.
So he's upset. You know, he's upset because a 48-year-old woman just died and didn't have to. So anyway, it'd be interesting to hear his perspective.
You talk about, you know, we always make jokes that we have all the answers, but nobody's asking.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that for real. This is Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
He really does. He has all the answers. And literally, he's out there trying. And
he's on TV all the time.
Yes, and he gets mocked for being on TV all the time. And yet no one's listening.
Yeah.
And yet no one's listening. It must be very frustrating. He was given Sanjay Gupta the SmackDown last night.
Yeah.
He's yelling at Sanjay Gupta, who's also another very famous
really?
Doctor.
The Gupta SmackDown is a great band, by the way.
He was like, tell me any disorder where she should have been prescribed all three of those drugs. Huh, doctor? What do you have to say now, doctor? And I thought it was going to the octagon. I really did.
Did he prescribe it?
Neither one of them. Yeah, they were just having a discussion. It was just a couple of doctors having a discussion about the case. So it was funny.
New Beans Death Corner today. Very excited about that.
A lot of good death.
A lot of good death.
All right.
Can't wait. And from Celebrity Apprentice, which starts this Sunday night, we're going to talk to Penn Jillette.
Oh, excellent.
Magician Penn Jillette. So he's maybe the smartest guy we know. And I wonder how he's going to fare on that show. I wonder if he's able to play the game and, you know, lie and do whatever it is he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
If so, he'll probably win. If not, he'll probably be first off. So we're going to talk to Penn today about that, and we will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Before we get into the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show with us in for Ralph Garman, you follow basketball pretty closely, right, Kevin? You're a hardcore Lakers fan?
Yeah.
How often does a team go on a 7-game winning streak?
Not very often.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Seldom why.
Knicks last night, they win again handily over the Sacramento Kings 100-15. And let me tell you about your little friend Jeremy Lin. Either 13 or 14 assists on top of his 10 points.
Wow.
So he is just contributing in every possible way. It's Dave just told me that he's in it to Lin it. So I guess we got that.
In it to Lin it. Nice. You know what's the real question is, how did everybody in the basketball establishment miss this guy?
Yes, that's exactly what the question is.
Because he played for a couple of different teams, but didn't play, just sat on the bench, never used. There had to be a bunch of injuries for him to get in the game playing for New York, and now all of a sudden he's taken over the league. That means every single person missed that.
I mean, that means every NBA scout out there ought to be a little bit embarrassed as they drive to work today going, yeah, I guess I don't know everything about it. So anyway, it is getting to the point where, you know, nationally, we're starting to follow the Knicks. People are starting to, you know, it's like when Tebow went on that winning streak in Denver. Everybody's like, okay, what happened with the last game? Well, they won again last night, so they are up to 7. Let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I want to start with this story. It's like a real-life Storage Wars, except it's not buying a storage facility in a room in Van Nuys. This is Jamie Oliver, the British and now American television host, who is building a new restaurant. And he bought a building in Manchester, England, and they discovered safe deposit boxes dating back to 1935 in this building. Apparently, it's an old bank building that he bought. So he owns it, of course, and everything in it. I mean, this is a dream come true. You buy a building and then find out there's hidden treasure in the building, right? It's going to be a new restaurant that he's going to build called Jamie's Italian. He has profited $1.7 million from what they found in the safe deposit boxes underneath with people that could not be traced down. People that they could not be traced to give the stuff back to.
I'll bet they tried really hard to trace them, too.
Including gold, including jewelry, including weapons. And here's the most remarkable thing about it. The master tape recordings from Joy Division and New Order were discovered in the safe deposit boxes of, again, this building that used to be a bank and now is being renovated to be turned into a restaurant.
That is unbelievable.
Wow. What are those worth? I mean, I imagine those you can trace back to easily find who owns them.
Right.
So they'll be turned back over to the record company. But the master recordings from New Order and Joy Division, which makes sense in, you know, back in the 70s and then 80s, they would take those and go, well, these are safe. These are safe. We'll put this in a bank. But who forgot about it? I mean, that wasn't that long ago that everybody associated with the story is dead. Who forgot about it?
But a bank in New York. Did you say New York?
No, this is in London.
Oh, London. Okay.
Manchester. Excuse me. It's in Manchester. Yeah. So it's bizarre that they would have been in there and not claimed
That's
or something
funny.
Once the bank went under. But anyway, fascinating story for Jamie Oliver. Now, you know, I'm sure the restaurant is going to be profitable because he knows what he's doing, but he's kind of starting off with a profit. I mean, $1.7 million out of the building that you didn't count on. Right? Crazy story.
Is Kate Upton dating someone?
Are we going to do Kate Upton stories?
Yes,
for
we
like
are.
The rest of the...
Every day for the rest of our lives.
She's the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Yes,
come on,
I
Lisa.
Know.
She's a legitimate celebrity now.
I don't know, Kevin. Is
By
she?
By the way, and this story is not even solid. It's just maybe. That's enough for me to bring
Could
it up.
Could she be dating someone?
She might be dating Mark Sanchez.
Well, we've heard that.
Yeah.
And he's not right for her.
That rumor has been out there, and then it goes away, and then it comes back a little bit, and then it goes away, and then I guess yesterday they recited again together, and then they were asked about each other, and they said, I don't know, maybe, we don't know, I don't know. So that's the whole story, but I just wanted to bring up Kate.
Thank
Upton.
You, that was enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, is King of Mexico producing this show or not? Why aren't we talking to Kate Upton?
I don't know, I've seen him in there working the phones like it's crazy. I mean, he's really trying.
Is he? Okay.
But I'm not sure he's a closer when it comes to Kate Upton. You need a closer.
Yeah.
I was listening to an AM radio station in Seattle yesterday, and I'm not one of the popular ones. I mean, I'm talking low, low, low in the ratings AM station. And the afternoon guy was on saying, yeah, we talked to Kate Upton earlier today. Some of the listeners are calling and saying I got a little creepy with her. And I'm thinking, how are you? You're on this AM station in Seattle. How are you talking to Kate Upton and we're not?
That's funny.
Right?
Yes.
That's funny.
Whitney Houston update, if you're keeping track.
Still? Still dead?
Still dead.
Okay.
And being buried on Saturday. You know, there was a lot of talk that they were going to have a public memorial. They were going to have it at, I don't know, I think they were going to have it where the Nets play maybe for a while. That was going to be the talk, and people were going to be invited. And then they decided, the family said, no, we just want to make it private, so they're just going to have it at Whitney's actual church where she attended and sang as a girl and where she got married. The New Hope Baptist Church in Newark is where it's going to be. Of course, a lot of celebrities will be there. Chaka Khan, songwriter Diane Warren, L.A. Reid, Brandy, Ray J, Aretha Franklin is going to be performing. Clive Davis will be there. It's going to be on television, by the way.
What?
They are going to televise the wedding, so everybody is going to get a chance to watch. She will be laid to rest there in that same location, right next to her father's grave. The reason I bring all of this up, though, is somebody who may not be there is Bobby Brown, who apparently is extremely disappointed after hearing from several members of Whitney's family that they do not want him to attend the funeral.
I don't doubt that at all. I can see how he would be the fall guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what?
Let's be honest.
Wouldn't you put that aside for 2 hours so that he could stand next to their daughter?
Yeah, exactly.
While mom is being, you know, while mom is being put down. I mean, seriously.
Mom's being put down.
Is that what they do? Putting her down. I don't think so, no. But I don't think so. But, I mean, I think if they blame her death on him...
Well, I mean,
they had
They had been divorced for several years. It's not like he was anywhere around her. It's not like he took her into the hotel and put her on a bender or anything like that.
But when they started, like when they got married, they seemed to feed each other's habits in a big way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, I don't know. If they blame him, there's no possible way they want him there for anybody.
Well, Bobby Brown has not received official word from the family yet. However, several members of the family have reached out and warned him he should not attend the funeral. He should not even attempt to show up because the family would not allow him.
Yeah, about that funeral, why don't you plan something?
That's kind of ugly, though.
Well, it is.
The whole thing is.
The whole thing is, yeah. I don't have birthdays here, Robbie. Sorry.
Jeremy Bullock is a name you don't know, but he's one of the great villains in cinema history. He was Boba Fett in the Empire Strikes Back movie. The greatest bounty hunter that ever lived. He is 67 years old. Actor William Catt was TV's The Greatest American Hero, is 61 years old today. From Star Trek The Next Generation and The Reading Rainbow, LeVar Burton turns 55. Ice-T, who's back on the air with his Ice and Cocoa reality show for a second season, turns 54 years old today. I bet there are a lot of people who only know Ice-T as an actor and have no idea that he used to
be
one of the best rappers in the world back in the day. Andy Taylor from Duran Duran turns 51 today. The drummer for Slayer, Dave Lombardo, is 47. If Psycho Mike is out there masturbating to this announcement.
Did you see Dave Grohl's wearing a Slayer t-shirt at the Grammys?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Lupe Fiasco, the rapper, is 30 today. And we just played some Foo Fighters. We just talked about Dave Grohl. His good friend Taylor Hawkins, the drummer for that band, looks fantastic for 40 years old. And that is the showbiz band. I'm a little bit excited about Celebrity Apprentice coming back, by the way. I love that show.
I do, too. I love the show, and especially depending on who the celebrities are. And this time it looks like it's going to be fantastic with Adam Carolla, who's going to be hilarious, and Penn Jillette, who we're going to talk to in a little bit over a half hour. So,
well, just to see Dee Snider in a room with Clay Aiken makes the whole show worth it for me. Anyway, yeah, we are talking to Penn Jillette. We got a new Death Corner on the program today, and also Brian Deegan, Mr. Metal Militia himself. That's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, your calls are on the air. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro line. As you know, we've got it set up for you 24-7. It's our voicemail here at K-Rock, 323-520-AFRO. That's our number.
Yeah, you could call it any topic. This was about Valentine's Day and how not everybody had necessarily somebody to celebrate it with.
Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day. Masturbation is gonna happen.
Oh, does he sound sad?
Aww.
He sounds sad.
Well, at least he got some loving, though, on February 14th.
Did he?
Probably
I don't know.
Sent
he
himself some like flowers.
It. He called back.
Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day. Masturbation.
Congratulations. Hope you two are very happy together.
Occasionally we'll play an Afro call of somebody who has heard enough Red Hot Chili Peppers. We do play a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're one of our, you know, massive bands. And sometimes people get tired of it, not this guy.
Yeah, I get so tired of people complaining about you guys playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers, man. They're my favorite band, man. Love that new song of theirs. Shoot, I forget what it's called. But Lipstick Jumper, beat the same on to came back with a smile. He didn't know nobody was stronger than his honor. Who set free is a crossbane.
You know, I think that's about the limit of how many of the words you can know from a Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
You're not meant to know them all.
You're not meant to know them all. There's no possible way you can. Here's a guy we were making fun of. Ralph was making fun of us because we did a, Mark and Brian did a thing in 1992 where they did a radio play with the Jetsons.
Right. A lot of people confused them with us for some reason, but that was them.
Right. And this guy believes that he has put his finger on something that has remained the same from then till now.
So you guys were just doing the Jetsons bit in 92 or whenever that was, and the one thing occurred to me that was good out of the entire thing, and that was that Kevin didn't sound like he's drunk all the time.
Oh.
Kevin, stop drinking. It's so annoying to listen to you nowadays.
I was way drunk that morning, by the way. That's for the record. Here's somebody who thinks they can do my job.
Katy Perry will be performing. 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 Can I have his job now?
See, because it took Kevin 11 times to say those five words that time.
And that guy could do it three times in a row. We were talking about the Nick Diaz fight and Carlos Condit and how Nick Diaz was a baby. Because
yes,
the judges unanimously said that it was a victory. And there's been a lot of post talk about this fight, Joe Rogan and a bunch of different people thinking that Nick Diaz did win the fight. But my point is, a lot of people thought they won a fight and the ruling goes against them, and they don't cry and be a baby about it.
Yeah.
You're talking on Nick Diaz? Nick, Diaz? What balls on you? What balls? You have a huge pair of balls to do something like that. You must be all and no balls. No, wait. All balls and no huge balls. Seriously. I want to see those huge balls. Can you show me your huge balls? Seriously. Can I see your balls, please?
Whoa, no, wait a minute.
That turned.
Have you seen the follow-up on that fight where Nick Diaz tested positive after the fight for drugs?
No.
Again,
but the drug is marijuana.
Yep, he sure did. Which doesn't sound like is ever going to help you in a competitive situation.
Yeah,
ever.
Does he not want to win?
Yeah, you would think if I'm fighting you, I want you to be hitting the pipe. Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're
going to
be a little slow. You might not. I don't know. I don't understand why it's such a big negative deal. But
I mean, is there anyone who has ever improved their athleticism by being stoned? Ever?
I don't know. I really don't.
Doesn't make any sense. Stay in your system for a long time.
Yeah.
So he could have done that 2 weeks before.
Well, he's come out and said, I always smoke marijuana, medical marijuana. But then I wait, you know, just long enough before the fight, I stop so that it doesn't show up.
Huh.
Wrong. It showed up.
Hi, with the beer mug. Oh, my God. He's such a pothead. Classic pothead. I'm obviously of that of people.
Yeah, you're in that subset as well. And Beer Mug, that does explain most of his interviews as well. Here's a clip that we play from time to time about Bean when he was back. He was a flame-throwing top 40 DJ back in the day.
And so that's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Hey, Bean, I was just listening to some Lionel Richie. You're right, he does get more Richie each time I hear him. He gets more Richie. He's so lame, Bean. Oh, God.
I can't dispute that.
Whitney?
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Okay.
Too soon?
No. <God. laughs> 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:37.
Looks like we got a couple of chocolate-covered strawberries left, Beer Mug, if you want to help yourself. They are here in the studio for you.
I brought them in specifically for you. I know you love them.
Nope.
A strawberry.
Wow.
Nice, big, juicy strawberry.
Yeah, full
fresh
sugar,
fruit.
Dipped in chocolate against my diet, so no.
Huh. Well, you got 3.5 months, man. You're not going to live every single minute starving, are you?
If I don't start now, Bean, I'll never start.
Right, okay? But here's the thing. Same thing with people who do New Year's resolutions is that they go, I have to be perfect.
That's right. Great point.
And the first time I make a mistake, I'm done.
That's right.
And you'll never make progress like that. You have to occasionally treat yourself.
Yeah, but if I keep doing, oh, just this one, that's going to turn into just this 20 or just this 30. And I'll keep doing it, and I'll never get better.
Look, we're just trying to help.
Yeah, sure.
Wow. I mean, Bean has successfully lost quite a bit of weight.
That's true.
Yeah. And his advice was have one, and then tonight make an adjustment. Because I looked it up. I think it's about 120 calories probably.
Which is nothing.
Some of them have tons of chocolate on them, and they would be more. But this isn't super thin. Right. So.
All right, listen, I'm just trying to help you out.
Yeah, why listen to me? A guy who's done it and is on your side and is rooting for you and is trying to help you. Why listen to me? You should do what you do because you make good choices, Grandma.
We have Dr. Drew, we have Brian Deegan, we have Penn Jillette on the way. Penn Jillette will be in about a half hour.
Right now, though, I noticed two stories that both came out this week that struck me as odd. And I don't get people who yell at celebrities. I don't understand. And you see this all the time at red carpet events where there are people who want to get their picture or want to get the attention of the celebrity. And they just stand there and just scream their name. And I'm trying to understand.
You mean like without anything else in between? They're not saying anything to them. It's just their name?
Well, they're trying to either get a photo or get their attention. And here's the first tape that I want to bring to your attention. And this is from Kate Upton, strangely. Lisa, Kate Upton back in the news.
Oh, my God.
Talk about her every single break.
She was at the David Letterman show for the unveiling of this year's Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes in and she does her interview with Dave. And by the way, she's not only gorgeous and lovely, she seems like just a fun chick. She's got have you seen any of the interviews with her making the rounds?
I've seen them all.
What reason does she have not to be a fun chick, by the way?
Well, that's a great question.
If life handed me that, I'd be a fun chick, too.
No, a lot of girls, you'd be surprised. A lot of girls, like, when they're that hot, they don't have to be nice or have a great personality or anything.
Yeah, she seems genuinely like a nice person who's just having a fantastic time and just loving life. But you're right, Lisa. She gets to go home, take off the swimsuit, and look at those in the mirror. So why wouldn't you be happy? Right? So I want you to listen in particular to this woman that you'll hear at the beginning of the clip. As Kate Upton is leaving the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York, she is yelling at Kate, I assume because she wants to get a photo. I don't know anything else about her. Maybe it was an interview. I don't know. But listen to how insistent she is to get Miss Upton's attention.
Hey!
Okay, let's get a shot.
Hey!
All right, you have her now. You're listening for her. You've already heard her with the three Kates. Let's see what else
zeroed
she's got.
In.
Right. Now, if you're this woman.
Holy cow.
You're just on rote now. You know, they're not even thinking about it. Just saying it.
I'm out at this point. I'm thinking I'm an adult. I'm a grown adult standing on a corner now screaming at a model. Kate. Well, at some point, I become aware, hey, what am I doing with my life? Right?
I don't think people like that do, but why, do you have more tape or no?
She keeps...
I mean, it's not like she's the guy in 127 hours and she literally is going to die or chew her arm off if she doesn't get help.
How do you know?
She's just yelling at a model, right? That's all she's doing. How much can you yell at a model is my question.
I guess when you get to like 10, 11, 12, you go, oh, well.
at some point, she's not done.
Cover girl, to your right. Let's see it.
Kate!
You're going to have a look up.
I mean, at some point, they need to take her out of there, right?
What's the guy that said, let's see it? Who's that guy?
I don't know.
Another guy do you have a helicopter? I don't know what's going on with these people.
I don't either. But I just, you know, we're so lucky to have this job. And although we're not good at it, we're lucky to at least have this job. I see so many people in situations where I go, I'm glad I'm not that person. Whatever that woman was trying to get going with Kate Upton, thank God I don't have to be her today.
We've
Thank God
been
that's
there,
not
Bean.
My life, is we've, screaming at its limits.
We've been there. We've been on red carpets where we need to get that interview, and we yell, but neither of us have whatever it takes to just continue yelling. We give up.
It.
Maybe we're lazy,
right, exactly.
But we just give up.
Also this week, Whitney Houston's body was flown back to New Jersey on Tyler Perry's private jet, by the way, and was taken in a gold hearse to the funeral home where it is going to be prepared for the service on Saturday. Now, I was surprised when the casket arrived in the middle of the night in New Jersey that there was a sizable crowd of people around the funeral home waiting for it to arrive.
They'd heard it was coming to that funeral home, so they were waiting.
This is a funeral home in a neighborhood, and I don't know, it looks like on the news that there was probably 50 people or something like that that were standing outside waiting for the casket tour.
Nobody was yelling Whitney, were they?
Can the thought process be when the hearse pulls up to start screaming at Whitney?
Did that guy say, Whitney, we love you?
Oh, yes. Yes, what? Yes, yes. What are they expecting is going to happen at them yelling? It's not like she was walking into a movie premiere and you had the opportunity for her to turn and smile at you or get a photo or whatever it was. She did. Whitney, she ain't answering, right?
Whitney, we love you. That's the...
Pandemonium. I mean, it's like Justin Bieber's at the Beverly Center. I mean, these people are just going crazy with
all
this casket
showing up.
All of these
people should be kicked out of America, rounded up and sent to an island somewhere.
I mean, I kind of thought when I saw that there was a crowd there that it was going to be mournful. I thought that they would just be standing there like silent, quiet, maybe with candles or something like that, just as their way to privately show respect for, you know, Whitney Houston they must have been fans of or they wouldn't be there. But what's going on with screaming? I mean, what do they think is going to happen? What is the reaction they're hoping for?
If they get it, it's big news.
Doesn't it sound like a mob at this point?
Yes, like they're going to break through the barrier and run after her.
It's a fever pitch. There's more.
We love you, Whitney!
I don't get what's going on with people, you guys.
She's
dead.
Trying to get my head around this.
Right.
She is dead, and they know that, right?
Yeah.
They're there because they know that she's dead. So what's the goal of Whitney, we love you? What's happening there?
It does sound like a fever pitch, just like it did with Kate Upton when they were looking for her to look their way.
Right, but in the Kate Upton situation, there's a possibility you might see her boobs, though. So there's a reason to be excited. I don't know what the upside is of the Whitney thing.
Whitney, we love you.
What's happening here?
I don't know, but stop it.
Right?
You home tonight.
That guy to be my friend. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:54.
That song's kind of classy for K-Rock, isn't it?
But,
yeah. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. We got, as we mentioned, Penn Jillette from Celebrity Apprentice coming up. Also, a brand new Bean's Death Corner for you next hour. And, Kevin, we are getting a lot of requests for the Kevin is a Drunkie song.
Yes, I want to hear it again.
Not aware of that song.
Yesterday. I think we may have to play that for you again also between 7 and 8. Right now, though, filling in for Ralph Garman this hour, here's a decision we are sure to regret. Ladies and gentlemen, with the Showbiz Beat this hour, it's Beer Mug.
Ooh. What?
Yep.
How's everybody doing?
Yeah. We are good.
Good. Kevin, you'll be happy to know
that
Spence Dog is back in the news, and it looks like he's been eating a lot of chocolate-covered strawberries.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
TMZ released a picture of him walking out of a gas station in L.A. on Tuesday, and look at this.
Is it Spencer Fat?
Spencer Fat.
Yeah.
He's got man boobs. He's got a little spare tire.
Sweet.
Yeah, so maybe he could add himself to the list of fat and disgusting people who he hates.
Good point.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen and Warner Brothers still going at it.
Still fighting?
They are still fighting. Warner Brothers, well, Charlie Sheen has a new series coming out called, I think it's Anger Management.
Right.
And Warner Brothers, the Hollywood Reporter said that Warner Brothers sent a cease and desist letter to Charlie saying that he cannot use any old Two and a Half Men publicity photos.
Oh.
So when Charlie got his letter, he responded by saying, quote, "I'm thrilled. It insulates me from having to redundantly see myself in the idiotic bowling shirt. Perhaps if Warner Brothers spent as much time and energy focusing on their show, it wouldn't be such a steaming pile of S." Yeah. So,
all right.
Let's see how anger management rolls out.
Yeah, exactly.
They're still battling.
And by the way, look, Charlie Sheen's a tool, but Warner Brothers makes a valid point here. I mean, if we pay to have those photos taken to promote Two and a Half Men, you can't then just go off to another channel and do another show and use our promotional photos. I mean, they do make a good point. He is in the wrong
here. Yeah. Right. It's Warner Brothers' property, right?
Yep. Exactly, yeah. And remember, they wrote him an enormous check, too. If I were him, I wouldn't have anything bad to say to Warner Brothers at this time. He came out of that deal pretty well, I think.
Bruce Willis turns out not such a fan of Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, really?
He is saying that he's Ashton is to blame for Demi's drug problems.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like Bruce Willis, by the way.
Yeah, the U.S. Weekly reported that...
It's called Us Weekly, by the way.
Oh, Us Weekly, I'm sorry. He reported that, Ashton is to blame. And while Demi was getting high off Whippets, Ashton was off partying in Brazil.
Oh, well, he's blaming him because he wasn't there.
He wasn't there to help her out.
To babysit?
Right.
Or
they're divorced.
His behavior.
They're broken up.
Yeah. But
he spun her out with his behavior. That's what... I think that's what he's saying.
All right.
I'm not agreeing. I'm just trying to figure out what this...
It sounds dumb. I mean, let's face it. She's an adult. It's her fault for whatever trouble she gets into.
Yeah.
Well, I agree.
Bruce says he's been there more for Demi than Ashton has, taking care of the daughters. And so
he has been an extraordinary ex-husband, it seems like.
Yes.
Absolutely. The reason he's been there more than Ashton has taken care of the daughters is because they're his daughters.
Yes, he should be there.
With Demi Moore. Yeah. They're not Ashton Kutcher's daughters.
Yeah. Music. A lot of music news in the showbiz today. Good news if you want to watch Whitney's funeral. While her former publicist said that the public memorial was bagged, her private family service at the New Hope Baptist Church in Newark, New Jersey, will be shown on TV as well as streamed on the internet.
I hope VH1 does a pop-up videos version.
That'd be awesome.
That would be good.
That'd be sweet. So far, the celebrities who will be attending, the list includes Chaka Khan, B.B. Winans, Diane Warren. I'm sorry. Yeah, Warren. Diane Warren. L.A. Reid, Brandy, and her brother Ray J will all be attending. And Aretha Franklin will be performing after the ceremony. So, I don't know. You guys going to tune in?
No. I have friends who will.
No, yeah.
I don't think I will. But
I don't think I would watch any celebrity funeral. No.
Aretha was Whitney's godmother, by the way. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
Did not.
Very close with her family because, you know, Whitney's mom was a famous gospel singer and so was Aretha. So they've known each other since long before Whitney was even born.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne is a clever guy. He was at a Valentine's Day dinner with his girlfriend, and he slipped a humongous yellow rock in a $43 sundae, which consists of 12 homemade scoops of ice cream, complete with sparklers and crazy toppings, and he tweeted about it, and when he tweeted, he said she said yes, which led everybody to believe that he had just proposed to her.
They're engaged,
Yeah. No, she said yes to being his Valentine.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what that ring was
a
for?
A big yellow rock
Valentine?
For a Valentine. Yeah.
Let's get back to the $43 sundae. That sounds good.
Me too.
Sparklers.
Scoops. I'd be worried she'd never find it. That's a good point. Nobody eats 12 scoops of ice cream.
Apparently you can order that at the Barton G restaurant. I don't know where that is.
I think we have a date.
I think it's in New Orleans, but I was thinking, and you call me cheap if you want, but if it's me and a lady, I'm not ordering a $43 12-scoop ice cream dessert for the two of us. I'm just not.
Right. One for yourself and maybe one for her.
And then to put a humongous yellow diamond just for a Valentine's Day gift. F you.
He's
pretty darn rich.
Yeah.
And Adele, remember how she was saying she was going to retire for 5 years?
For 5 years because of a guy?
Yeah. Well, she posted a blog on Tuesday saying, quote, "I've been off a few days now, and then it's to the Brit Awards here at home, and then I'm straight into the studio. Booyah."
What?
5 years, question mark? More like 5 days. So
well,
she's only taking
news.
5 days off, not 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's very different.
Yes, it is. Maybe she's not going to tour.
Could be.
Maybe something like
so
that.
So for all you Adele fans, that's good news. Off to celebrity birthdays. Actor LeVar Burton, Star Trek alumni, and Reading Rainbow host. I loved that show when I was a kid. They should bring it back. I don't know who would host. Maybe he could host it.
I believe it's still on.
What?
I think they still do it. It still airs on PBS.
Reruns, though, right?
Oh, I thought they were still making that show.
Does it matter?
Are we debating
reading rainbow? Reading Rainbow. Yes, we are.
I can go anywhere.
Best song. Oh, I'm sorry. Rapper, actor Ice-T is 54, and I am jealous of him for two words. Coco's ass.
Ass?
It's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Boobs.
Guitarist Andy Taylor from Duran Duran is 51. And a shredding drummer, Mr. Dave Lombardo of Slayer, is 47. And another drummer, Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters, is 40. Do you guys know I'm a drummer?
Are you a drummer?
You're kidding. I'm a drummer.
We did know that, yeah.
So, and finally, rapper Lupe Fiasco is 30. I am Beer Mug, and the Showbiz Beat is outrageous.
Hey, looks like we're getting our guy on the phone. We're getting our phone?
Working on it.
Hey, real quick, before we go to Mr. Gillette. Kevin, you wanted to hear some more people yelling at Whitney Houston's casket.
I do. They flew the casket back to New Jersey, and now she's dead and in a casket, and people are there at midnight, and they're yelling this.
Hey! We're mad! We love you! We love you!
And you don't yell, Whitney, we love you, unless you're hoping somebody will hear it, right? I mean, that's the whole point of saying it out loud, is that's the type of thing you say to a celebrity so that they know that you're a fan.
By the way, every other person that was yelling her name.
Yeah.
You don't do that unless you're expecting her to hear in turn.
Well, you want it to be heard through the casket.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
What's happening? That's unbelievable.
We love you, Whitney!
And it is, like we said a few minutes ago, it's like a fever pitch, too. It just gets louder and louder and more people join in. And you got to wonder, what are you doing out there in front of a funeral home at midnight screaming at a lady in a box?
It'd be funny if there's a woman around that would yell, like, from the casket.
I'm dead! I'm dead! Stop yelling at me!
I can't hear you!
I just want peace!
Anyway, speaking of Whitney and the continuing investigation and the continuing fallout from her death on Saturday, we are going to talk to Dr. Drew later on today, who I saw screaming equally loud at Dr. Sanjay Gupta on the TV last night on Anderson Cooper's show. Dr. Drew is very upset that we all should have seen this coming.
That we did.
Well, what did Dr. Gupta do?
Everybody did see it coming. That wasn't a surprise.
But I think what he's suggesting is this needs to be a wake-up call, not just for the people around Whitney who blew it by not stepping in and doing more for her, but for everybody who continues to take prescription medicine with alcohol. Dr. Drew says that that is something that people just don't think is serious and really is. So anyway, I thought he was going to have an aneurysm on Anderson Cooper's show last night.
Sweet.
It was pretty scary.
All right. We have... this is going to be great. We have Penn Jillette.
Oh, I love The Penn, and I love Celebrity Apprentice, and I'm so happy that it's coming back for a new season. And I'm telling you, and I'll tell Penn to his face here in a minute, he's going to win this thing. Penn, you're going to win this thing, man. That's my prediction.
I have no knowledge of that mission, and if I did, I would not be at liberty to discuss it. But
no,
thank you.
We're just predicting. Of course.
I'm going to suggest that Penn's not going to win, and I'll tell you why.
Right.
Not that he can comment, but because he's not going to be able to put up with the BS.
Which is another show he's
Well,
done.
You do not suffer fools gladly.
Right.
That's true, Penn. You do seem to have... I mean, you're very gracious around people, but let's face it, you're smarter than the rest of us, and I think stupid people irritate you.
Is that accurate?
As you said, I cannot comment on...
No, but
all
you...
I can say is you spend 16 hours a day in a room with Clay Aiken, see how much you want to be alive.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I won't ask you anything about what happens, but for folks who maybe are just crawling out from under a rock, Celebrity Apprentice is an awesome show Donald Trump hosted. It airs Sunday nights on NBC. The new season debuts this Sunday night at 9. And basically, you guys all get jobs. You get missions. And as you go throughout the season, you are eliminated one by one until the last person isn't fired. The last person is hired becomes the Celebrity Apprentice. Penn, who are you playing for? Who's your charity going into this thing?
My charity is Opportunity Village, which is a charity in Las Vegas that for intellectually disabled adults, helping them get into the world and get jobs. And it's a wonderful, wonderful charity. But even more important than that, it's the charity that Elvis helped out. When Elvis would pull out a handkerchief, wipe his brow, and then throw that scarf into the audience, those scarves were made at Opportunity Village. So,
is that right?
I am playing for the charity that Elvis would be playing for, so you tell me who you're rooting for. Huh?
Elvis?
Oh, wait, is that not one
of
them?
Are you rooting for Elvis or are you rooting for someone else? What kind of American are you, you rat bastard?
Now, I know you can't give us the details of the show, which we're dying to find out, but you did mention Clay Aiken. Can you give us a thought on some of the contestants? If I say their name, can you give us a thought?
Oh, sure.
All right, Adam Carolla.
Well, I love Adam Carolla. As a matter of fact, I'm starting up a podcast on his network this Sunday called Penn Sunday School. It'll be on the Adam Carolla podcast network, and you can find out about it on Twitter at Penn Sunday, P-E-N-N-S-U-N-D-A-Y.
Fantastic.
So I love Adam Carolla and always will.
Arsenio Hall.
Arsenio Hall is just, you know, most talk show hosts, when you meet them off stage, they're very, very different and kind of sullen and mean. And Arsenio Hall is exactly the same off camera as he is on until the pressure gets too great.
Oops. Victoria Gotti.
Victoria Gotti, I didn't have very much contact with. You know, they separate us by gender,
sure.
And it just so happened that we didn't get mixed up much.
Okay.
Bean, did you have a question?
I just want to know how a guy like Arsenio Hall has been making a living for the last 20 years. Did that come out in any of the conversations you had with him? What does that dude do for money, Penn?
We didn't talk much about money, but we talked a lot about him being a single father who wanted to raise his son. So I think he perhaps, you know, he owned the Arsenio Hall show. He might have made a lot of coin and taken time off for his family, very similar to David Brenner. I think that any question you ask Arsenio, the answer comes down to his son. And I think he's as good as he is as a comedian and a talk show host, he may actually be a better father.
Interesting. Wow. Why do you suppose, I mean, I don't know if there's a catch-all answer to this. I'll ask first, did you decide to do this show just because you were so committed to the charity you wanted to make money, or did you have some other ulterior way? Is this a way of promoting yourself and your brand? Because you're rich and famous.
There are three reasons that everybody does it. One is the charity, because regardless of how much money you make for the charity, which is a considerable amount, you also bring a lot of attention to the charity, and
right.
They do very well afterwards. The other reason is it's just my job. You know, I'm in show business, and they ask me to do stuff, and I usually do it. And the third reason, and the most compelling for me, and I realize I probably would look better if I said the most compelling reason was the charity, but I give a lot of money to this charity anyway. The real reason is the early part of the 20th century in terms of entertainment will be defined by reality shows.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to be in the middle of that. I mean, if you had the chance to be on the Ed Sullivan Show when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show, wouldn't you have wanted to watch that from the wings? Wouldn't you want to see what that kind of center of the universe felt like?
Right, but
reality shows really are that.
You and Lisa Lampanelli, though, I'm not sure that equates to the Beatles. You know?
I'm talking about the form, not the content. Please don't misunderstand me.
And one other name I wanted to run by you, because I think he's just a bag of hot air, Donald Trump.
Well, you know, you get to see, instead of doing, the boardrooms take 2.5 or 3 hours.
Right.
And most of that time is listening to Donald Trump. And what you find out is that they're editing tremendously to make him more stern and more intense.
Right.
And he's a little bit more of a goofy, regular guy when you're actually there with him. And I've spent some time, you know, I knew Steve Jobs a bit, and I know Bill Gates, and I've spent a time with ultra rich. And it's interesting to see that there isn't that much that's that different, you know. They can't be as surrounded by yes men as we might imagine. They have to have a little more contact with the world. And so what you find out is that it's edited to make him more eccentric, not less eccentric.
No kidding.
Will you, in our remaining moments with Penn Jillette, and again, we're talking about season 5 of Celebrity Apprentice debuting this Sunday night at 9 on NBC. Did you take away any new friendships from the cast, the people you will stay in touch with after the show has wrapped, Penn?
You know, Paul Senior of Orange County Chopper.
Paul Tuttle, yeah.
He's just a wonderful, wonderful man. And I enjoyed being around him. I enjoyed being around Michael Andretti. I really enjoyed most, but of course, you know, Adam Carolla forever, of course. But I really enjoyed being around people who had run businesses. You know, the people who are just strictly show business are kinds of people that I've had a lot of contact with. But I've always been a little bit closer to businessmen, you know,
right,
and people that are outside of show business. So I got along very well with Paul Tuttle and Michael Andretti.
Celebrity Apprentice airs this Sunday night at 9 on NBC, and don't miss Penn's new podcast on the Ace Podcast Network. That is the Penn's Sunday School podcast debuting this weekend. Hey, look, I know you've been kind with your time over the years, Penn. I don't want this to be the only time we talk to you throughout the run of Celebrity Apprentice. Can we have you back on later in the season?
Oh, absolutely. I got to get to L.A., and I love being in the studio with you guys, even though
thanks,
Bean
Penn
doesn't.
After episode one, after episode one, when you get kicked off, especially.
See you, Penn. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. It's time for an all-new Beans Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
We've been doing this feature now for, I don't know, a year, year and a half or something like that. And I can tell that Kevin is still not on board. Kevin will never be like me and love death.
I don't love death. I don't love it at all.
But I feel like, Lisa, you're coming around. I feel like you're starting to enjoy the magic of the death.
I'm kind of enjoying a little bit of the death.
It depends on the ones you pick. Like, sometimes you pick ones that are just unbelievable, and that's fun.
Uh-huh.
But just the pure love of death, that's foreign to me.
You can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com if you want to play along, including video and further information, more than we have time for on the radio. But they're all posted on the website. Let's start with this one, Kevin. I think even you can be down with this. This is a guy who got killed over complaining about a neighbor's dog pooping on his yard. Now, is that the battle you want to lose your life over?
Oh, my gosh.
How much poop?
It happened in Philadelphia on Tuesday, just after 4 o'clock. Tyreek Harris is accused of killing his 47-year-old neighbor, Frank Santana. According to police, cops say Santana walked a couple doors down in Philadelphia to confront his neighbor over his dogs. Apparently, the dogs were a German Shepherd and a Chihuahua. They've just been running free all over the neighborhood. They've been pooping on everybody's lawn. And this dude just said, enough. I'm tired of your goddamn dog pooping on my lawn. What are you going to do about it? Well, the answer to what you're going to do about it is pull out a 9mm gun and shoot you several times in the chest.
Wow. Oh my.
Apparently, according to witnesses, he didn't run. He just stood there shocked.
Wow.
And then he collapsed to the ground, and now he's dead. The dude's been under arrest. But I don't know what the lesson is here. Is it pick your battles? Is it take a bigger gun when you go out to your neighbor's house? Make sure you've got a bigger gun when you go to complain about the dog.
I think the lesson is it's just poop.
I know, but. You should be. I mean, you're not expecting.
Yes, you should. Agreed.
You're not expecting death when you go to complain to you. You think it's going to be a civil conversation with your neighbor. Hey, can you stop your dog from pooping in my yard? You
maybe the message is perhaps get to know your neighbor before you involve him in an argument.
Or
maybe
put up a fence.
Maybe that's a good idea. We see stories like this from time to time about people who kill themselves by refusing to move around enough or stopping to sleep or eat or drink or anything like that because they get so engrossed in playing video games.
Yeah.
All the time this happens. Well, here's the latest one. His name is Chen Rong Yu. He's in China, 23 years old. He shows up last Tuesday night because he wants to play an online game called League of Legends. Do we know that one? Are you guys familiar with League of Legends?
I'm not, but go ahead.
He goes in Tuesday night. He plays through the night. He is last noticed alive around noon on Wednesday, still playing, still sitting in the same chair playing video games all night long. Well, we don't know exactly what time he died, but the waitress noticed him around 9 o'clock Wednesday night. He was already dead, still sitting up in his chair with his hands still stretched out toward the computer.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
Doctors say he suffered cardiac arrest brought on by blood clots. The clots from sitting around, from not moving enough. You know, you hear about this from time to time. They call it economy class syndrome. People who get on airplanes and don't get up and move around at all on a 14-hour flight can sometimes also develop blood
clots. So somebody was in his headset going, oh, you don't have anything to say now? Oh, big talker before.
But, I mean, do you look at this guy? I mean, it's sad. He's 23 and he's gone. But, I mean, there are going to be those who are going to argue that he died doing exactly what he wanted to do, which was not having a girlfriend and playing video games. So, yeah, so he did. Next up, we go to Australia. This is a fascinating story. Although the death itself happened back in 2003, it is in the news this week because trial began in Birmingham, Alabama this week against a guy named Gabe Watson for murdering his wife, Tina, on their honeymoon.
Honeymoon?
Check this out. Yes. I mean, look, I've heard of marriages gone bad. I've heard of it not working out. Yeah. But when you kill your wife 5 days into your marriage, listen to this. Prosecutors are saying that this was his plan all along. She apparently had a life insurance policy that he wanted to get his hands on. They were college sweethearts. They were engaged. Then they got married. Then they flew from Alabama down to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia and went scuba diving. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he was a very accomplished scuba diver. She was new at it. And the prosecutors are alleging that what he did was he put her in a bear hug underwater and turned off her air.
Wow. No.
Now, he has already done jail time in Australia. He's already been convicted in Australia, not of murder, but of not doing enough to save his wife, to try to help her. But apparently, he can still be charged in the United States. If somehow the judge has ruled it is not double jeopardy, and he's now being tried back in the United States. The trial opens this week in Alabama. But it just, I mean, it sounds like a TV movie. But just imagine if what the prosecutors are saying is true, is that he really did plot this thing, and he knew the whole time he was walking down the aisle and heading out for the honeymoon that he was going to kill her for the insurance money. Isn't that crazy?
I had the tank turned off when I was learning by my instructor to teach me not to panic, because do panic and that uses up the air three times as fast. So it would not have taken long for him to do that. That's crazy. Horrifying.
Here's a man who drove to meet his girlfriend at a boat dock in Alabama. And when he arrived, instead of seeing his girlfriend waiting for him in her car, he instead saw her car in the river sinking. He panicked, jumped out of his car, dived into the river to swim up to the car to try to save his girlfriend. What he didn't know is that moments before his girlfriend had already gotten out of the car, had been pulled out of the water by a fisherman, was standing on the dock watching him swim toward her empty car.
Oh.
She's alive. He drowned trying to save her.
Oh, see, that's not as funny.
That's a bad surprise.
Mm, yeah. Geez.
And finally, Kevin, you mentioned this guy. This guy is getting some double credit here on the Kevin Bean Show. You mentioned him earlier in the week as a Kevin Citizen of the Day, but he also crosses over into Death Corner because he's a 29-year-old named David Austin watching television. The Man vs. Wild show in the UK, and he goes, that Bear Grylls, man, that's pretty cool what he does, how he gets dropped on the mountain and survives for a week with just his skills.
I could do that.
I think I'm going to do that, too. So he basically took a year off of work, took some courses in outdoor survival, said goodbye to his friends and family, and said, I'm going to go spend a year in the wilderness. This is something I really want to do. I want to live on my own and show that I can just survive based on my wits. He lasted less than 3 weeks before they found his frozen body in the cold. So you watch Bear Grylls on TV. It's TV, okay? He may be doing some amazing things, but he's got a backup plan. You don't.
And by
right?
the way, he was in the SAS, which is, you know,
yes.
the top tier of warrior in Britain.
Exactly. Yeah. He had a little bit more going for him than you do. Mother Nature is a bitch, and Mother Nature will almost always win, so don't do that. Again, you can see all these stories and more at KROQ.com. This has been an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Adam Carolla joins us tomorrow here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race is going to be here. And Mr. Movie Phone will be back to take a look at the reviews of the films coming out this weekend. Right now, though, we want to take a look at some email. You can always get in contact with us. We have all of the email addresses at krock.com. But generally, it's whoever you're trying to get in touch with at krock.com, whether it's Lisa or Ralph or Kevin or me. That's how we roll.
All right. Let's see. These are from Facebook, actually. And they're about the elevator topic that we were talking about. You got stuck in an elevator.
Okay.
Michael writes, hey, Kevin and Bean, I was in Vegas a few years ago. We were taking the elevator to our room after being in the pool. The elevator broke down and caught fire and filled with smoke.
Whoa.
Wow. That's the trifecta.
And that's where the email ends. So I'm taking for granted he got out because he emailed it. But he doesn't say how long it was or how they got out or anything.
Oh my God.
That is fairly dramatic.
And then Jose writes, dear Kevin and Bean, I work for an elevator company, and the last thing you want to do is climb out of the hatch or a crack on the door.
Oh, did we hear from a lot of people with stories that they have heard of people who ended up in a bad, bad way and sometimes in two parts from trying to climb out of an elevator?
They would say it stopped in between floors and you could open the doors and you could see you had space to get out. I know about many impatient people who have gotten decapitated, mangled, or have fallen to their death.
Ouch.
He says, don't be a dumbass. I'm just saying wait for help.
Okay.
Yeah, but it would be tempting if you're in that elevator and you feel like it's taking forever for somebody to get to you and you can see the opening.
Super tempting.
You would think you'd want to climb out, but yeah. Here's something that's sort of related to our elevator call-in segment from Audra, who wrote in. Remember, it was about this time yesterday we had callers calling in who gave us entirely too much detail, a lot of backstory on who the people were in the elevator and how they got there and what they'd been doing in the years leading up to the trip on the elevator. And it was driving us crazy, and it actually turned up being pretty funny because we just started laughing at how bad the callers were. Well, Audra says, thank you for making the elevator call-in segment funny. I usually have to turn the radio off when listeners call in with a story because it's so painful. For instance, what you're looking for is this. I was stuck in an elevator for an hour and a half with my ex-boyfriend. I'd had bean burritos for lunch. It took all my energy to keep my ass from exploding. That's all you want. Here's what you get. So I was staying at a hotel in downtown LA with my girlfriends because my best friend was getting married that weekend, and I knew there'd be like great food at the party, like shrimp and lobster and stuff. And I really love bean burritos, so I scarfed down like two before the party. So we're at the party and decided we wanted to people watch and think it'd be funny to be like these drunk girls running up and down the elevator. Yep. So we get out, and my friends are like, we need to go to the top. But my other friends are like, no, we need to ride down to the basement. And while they're arguing, the elevator doors open, and everyone, my ex-boyfriend walks in. It was so awkward because I hadn't seen him since we took that trip to Yosemite 3 years ago to spread his grandfather's ashes. So we were all like being polite and everything, but my friends were trying hard not to laugh at me, but we had like 20 mojitos or something because that's like my favorite drink, and suddenly my stomach was really upset and I felt like I had to, you know, fart. It was so embarrassing. Anyway, thanks you guys for keeping the story moving, and thanks to Erica for bringing up Bean's mom's porno. So that was, if you missed that yesterday.
Sometimes I think we're too picky about how quickly people get to their story, but man, I'm glad to hear that. That was rough.
Yeah, thank you, Audra. Very funny. And finally, Melissa from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page also writes in, I don't know what it is about the Moments with Kevin clips that you guys play, but I absolutely cannot control myself. I laugh so damn hard I cry. I almost drive off the road every single time. I practically peed myself this morning driving, listening to the new Kevin is a Drunkie song. I am so thankful for Kevin and his brain farts. He makes all the rest of us feel good about ourselves. Is there any way you could please play it for me again?
Yes. No time.
As a matter of fact, Melissa, yes, we can. No, here's your long distance dedication.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you take a, you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple of years.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
And how often have you used it?
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
Where was your...
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
When you roast E-Fiesta 2007.
Oh, my God.
I saw him as a what do you call him?
Guy
that does color commentary? By the way, just for the movie theaters,
it's not a hard one, but if you heard it,
but it is the way you heard it.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you common. A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his, you don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You have to do it, like they say.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just, hours.
But the photos sure do look good.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
Now,
for the course. I got it.
So that's a toss-up.
Any disadvantage in this story?
When good men fail to stand up, bad yes. triumphs, or whatever that is. We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot?
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world famous K-Rock.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what? He sounds drunk. So what? He can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
Filling in for the showbiz beat, I would like to mention that Charles Keep a Knockin' Connor, who was our security guard here at K-Rock.
Yes.
Best guy I've ever met.
Did he die? What happened?
No, how dare you?
Oh, I don't know.
He was the original drummer for Little Richard.
Right.
He's going to be playing this Sunday night. You can see him Sunday at 6:30. With a group of outstanding musicians at the Viva Cantina Restaurant, 900 West Riverside Drive in Burbank, California.
Oh, cool.
It's this Sunday at 6:30. It's free. There's no cover charge. There's no parking charge. Go to his website, www.legendarydrummer.tv.
That's all. Keep it funky now.
That's great advice. Thank you, Charles.
Best person we all know.
Here's some fantastic news for our friend Jimmy Kimmel, who, as you know, does a special each year on ABC television after the Oscars. ABC always has the Oscars. And these specials have been hilarious in the past. And talk about big names. Listen to who's on this year's show. By the way, the Oscars, if I'm wrong about this, let me know, Lisa. But aren't they a week from Sunday? I want to say the Oscars
are. I think that's right.
Are they already?
It's that time. I don't know. Only Meryl Streep will be on the show. George Clooney, Martin Scorsese. Coldplay is going to be performing live on the program. Just announced yesterday, Oprah Winfrey is going to be joining Jimmy Kimmel on the Late Night Show.
What?
Now, what?
Let me tell you about Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
Has had more than his share of fun at Oprah's expense.
Yes, he has. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil anything, because maybe she doesn't know that yet.
I thought Jimmy was leading the resistance against Oprah. I thought Oprah is his mortal enemy, is what I thought.
Well,
how is Oprah part of the Jimmy Kimmel after the Oscars special?
You know, sometimes he does those skits. Who knows?
Right?
Maybe she's got a great sense of humor, and she knows he's been poking fun at her or something. Who knows?
Well, it's very rare that Oprah appears on anybody else's show. You can see her on her own network, her own cable channel, OWN, but she does not do very many late night appearances. That's for sure.
I'll tell you, since she's not on TV every day, my wife is a huge fan, and I've seen her watching that OWN network, and she does some specials. And you got two times the Oprah now. Two times.
What do you mean, two times the Oprah?
She's not the same size as she was when she was...
Oh, really?
Interesting.
That pressure to be on a daily TV
turns
show.
By the way, speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, tonight he has Chris Pine and Khloe Kardashian Odom, who we would recommend, and also Pucifer, Maynard from Tools Band. So that's pretty cool as well.
Well, I'd like to... I know he's very busy leading up to the Oscars, but producer Dave, not that you're listening to this show, but if you are, we'd love to speak with Jimmy next week and find out what he's got planned for the special.
He won't tell us. Of course, he's not allowed to, but we want to talk to him anyway. Oprah, speaking of Oprah, she's going to join Lady Gaga along with the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
To do what?
That's a great question. What on earth could they have in common? Lady Gaga is announcing her Born This Way Foundation at Harvard University's Graduate School of Education.
Okay. What's the Born This Way Foundation? Does this teach you how to wear a screen door to the Grammys like she did last week?
It helps you to learn how to use tinfoil in your wardrobe. I don't know. New York Post says it will address issues like self-confidence, well-being, anti-bullying, mentoring, and all of the other keywords that are striking a chord these days.
Okay.
So
that sounds like BS.
It does to me, too. But Oprah's joining her along with the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Okay.
She's got big names behind her.
You say so.
What's going on with that?
I got a ton of Broadway news just for you, Lisa May.
Yay.
Tonight is the night that William Shatner's one-man Broadway show, Shatner's World, We Just Live in It, officially opens. It has already had two nights of previews. It's opening its run at the Music Box Theater tonight. I think that's coming to Southern California later this summer as well.
It is coming to the Pantages sooner than that, and I am going.
Fantastic.
I think maybe
that's
next month.
That's got to be great. If you are not going to be in New York and want to see the Book of Mormon, here's great news. This is the show that just cleaned up at the Tonys. It won them all. And, of course, it came from, you know, our friends from South Park. Matt and Trey from South Park are the geniuses behind the Book of Mormon. It won everything in the world and apparently is great. And it's sold out years in advance. It's almost impossible to get a ticket within 6 months for the Book of Mormon in New York. Good news is, though, it is hitting the road. Producers are rolling out a five-week engagement to hit San Francisco and Los Angeles. It's also going to be coming to Chicago, Denver, Des Moines, Minneapolis, and Toronto later this year as well. So that's fantastic news. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be easy to get tickets to those shows either, but it used to be the only way to see a show was to see it on Broadway. Now, at least, they are taking them out on the road.
Yeah, and again, it's going to be at the Pantages.
Those guys are geniuses.
Yeah.
They are geniuses.
What's the plural?
I think either one is fine. Okay. I think geniuses is more common.
Okay.
And Jim Parsons, who I know has a tremendous amount of fans, it seems like he's always winning the Emmys for his work over there on Big Bang Theory, is also going to Broadway. They are going to take the old Jimmy Stewart movie Harvey and turn it into a Broadway play that he will be starring in. He'll be co-starring with Carol Kane, who, of course, Lisa, you know from Wicked.
Oh, yeah.
And that is going to be opening on June 14th as well. It does seem like that's how you get, that's how you sell seats on most Broadway shows, is you find TV and movie actors who are willing to do it, and then you adapt previously known works for the stage. And that's what's successful. Every time they try to get a new play up and run, it doesn't seem like it works out. But if you want to see Jim Parsons in the flesh, there's a way to do it.
And one more bit of Broadway news is that American
this is
Idiot
Broadway overload. Oh, okay,
is
yes.
coming to the Amundsen on the 13th of March.
Fantastic.
And it's got about a month run.
American Idiot. Fantastic. That is almost Broadway overload. Let's take it easy with that. You know how the economy's in the dumper? BigInsight.com has done a study, a consumer survey. They say here is a list of the untouchable budget items, the things that you will not give up. Number 10 is vacation. Number 9 is casual sit-down dining. Number 8 is enhanced mobile. I'm not sure what that means, unless it's mobile phone.
Probably with smartphones.
Yeah. 7, fast food restaurants. 6, haircut. 5, charitable contributions. I'm surprised that's so high. Good.
Yeah, that's the first to go. Are you kidding me?
4, discount apparel. 3, cable satellite. 2, mobile sales service. Number 1, internet.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
People will not give up their internet.
That would be the last to go.
They'd be starving. The lights would be off. They somehow have a generator running their internet.
I don't want to live in a world without the internet.
I hear you.
That's no kind of way to live.
I hear you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, how about the crazy Taylor in Duran Duran? He is Andy. He plays guitar for that band, and he is 51 years old today. Also, a couple of famous drummers celebrating birthdays today. Our friend Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters, who's sleeping on a bed full of Grammys right now after last weekend. He is 40 years old today. Dave Lombardo from Slayer turns 47. Lupe Fiasco, the rapper, is 30 today. He was inside the Boba Fett suit in Empire Strikes Back. We're talking about actor Jeremy Bullock, who is 67 years old today. William Catt, TV's greatest American hero, turns 61. Ice-T is 54. And LeVar Burton from Star Trek The Next Generation and The Reading Rainbow on PBS is 55. And that is the Showbiz Beat. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're going to talk about the irate gunslinging father who has become an internet sensation. I would love that to be my media label. I'd like to be known as the irate gunslinging father who's become an internet sensation.
And then we want to talk about weird parental punishment, because parents sometimes just don't know what to do with you.
Creative.
I know I was that. When I was, man, my parents just, they would bang their heads against the wall and they would put me in my room just because they didn't know what else to. They couldn't figure out how to make the punishment fit what I did.
And from this point of view, as an adult now, do you look back and just think there's not a dang thing they could have done ever?
Yeah, and I feel bad for them.
Yeah, me too.
I have a question for you, Kevin, based on your performance on this show over the years. Yeah. Are you sure they weren't banging your head against the wall?
No, I was doing plenty of that.
Okay.
They didn't know.
Well, here's the guy that we talked about yesterday, I think, when we featured his video in the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, and you can still see it there. But he had it up to here with his bratty daughter. She was going on Facebook, like teenagers do, and just complaining. Complaining about the chores that she had to do, complaining that they treated her like a slave and that she should get paid, and just on and on and on, talking about how crappy her parents were. And he addressed it in a video that he posted online that has just become a viral sensation. I think we have some audio of him describing his frustration with his kid and also how he plans to discipline her over it.
This is for my daughter, Hannah, and more importantly, for all her friends on Facebook who thought that her little rebellious post was cute. And for all you parents out there that think your, you know, kids don't post bad things on Facebook, well, I want to read you one. I took off my daughter's Facebook wall. She thought she'd be smart by blocking her parents from being able to see it. And I would have thought, with a father that worked in IT for a living, you'd have better sense than to do it again.
That's step one. If your parents in IT, perhaps you're not going to be able to hide something from them.
But I just spent about 6 hours yesterday fixing your computer for you, upgrading it for you, spent about $130 on software. And today, I run across a post on your Facebook page that you didn't think I'd be able to see. So since you want to hide it from everyone, I'm going to share it with everybody. To my parents, I'm not your damn slave. It's not my responsibility to clean up your We have a cleaning lady for a reason. Her name is Linda, not Linda. Wow. If you want coffee, get off your ass and make it yourself. If you want a garden, shovel the fertilizer yourself. Don't sit back on your ass and watch me do it. I mean, there was more curse words in that one post. Just ridiculous. Not happening. Disrespectful to me, your mother, your stepmother, your family, your friends, and yourself.
So what do? You take away Facebook? That's what, I think that's what I would do, I would guess, is just take it away from her.
Won't she just figure out a way to...
Maybe.
So I'm going to put a stop to it, and I'm going to put a stop to it right now.
These are exploding hollow point rounds. Yeah, and you have to pay me back for these, too, because these are about $1 a piece.
He's shooting at her laptop. He's shooting holes in her laptop.
And after that comment you made about your mom told me to be sure I put one there for her, so... That one's from her.
This is a guy that spent $130 in countless hours and the day before upgrading that computer. And then just decided, that's it. I've had it.
Yep. He is not available for interviews, by the way. He is obviously every media outlet in the world wants to talk to this dude. But he says, look, I said what I had to say. It's out there for people to read. But it has really created a firestorm from people who are saying, hey, look, I understand the frustration. A lot of parents go through this, but this is not the way to handle it. And he says, look, nobody was in harm's way. It's not like I was waving a gun around at her or something like that. I was just showing her this is what happens when you disrespect your parents. And he's got a lot of supporters, too. A lot of people think this was a good way to handle it and that his daughter will not soon forget this message. But that's why we want to talk about the creative and unusual ways that parents discipline their kids at 1-800-520-1067. King of Mexico is in studio. Dave, you don't seem to me like you would have been in a lot of trouble as a kid, were you?
Sometimes I was. Yes, during high school, I thought it would be a good idea for me and my buddy to go write on walls with spray cans. And we got caught, and I didn't get punished very hard, but my buddy, his parents took his whole wardrobe and spray painted mom and dad on it.
They spray painted all of his clothing?
All of his clothing. So for the next couple of weeks, he
and
was
didn't
in his
buy him anything new.
He was in his PE clothes. And so, you know, so wearing the same clothes over and over, and they're like, "Look, if you want to destroy property, we'll destroy your property so you know how it feels."
Wow.
And you know what? It got the message across. So,
of course.
Yeah. And I was laughing at him, you know. I had a couple of bruises, but he had no clothes.
Did
so.
You ever do it again?
Me?
Of course.
Of course. No.
All right, we're looking for weird parental punishments. We're not looking for abuse. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
So if it was something they shouldn't have done out of anger, leave those out. We want funny. We want what on earth? How did they come up with this punishment?
Kevin, you seemed yesterday not on board with the North Carolina dad who shot up his daughter's laptop. That seemed to really upset you. Why?
I don't know. It's just it seems a little too violent. But I guess if she's not there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just struck me wrong.
How about if it wasn't a gun? How about if he had just
a sledgehammer?
A sledgehammer rode over her laptop with his car or something like that? Would you have had the same reaction? It's just
that
you introduce a weapon and all of a sudden it gets scary.
Probably not the same reaction.
Here's a great story, and you see these several times a year. Here's the latest one ahead of us going to your calls again. The toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. Here's a woman who, in Memphis, Tennessee, who had a teenage daughter who stole her debit card and used it.
Ooh.
And the mom decided that the way to get back at her was to shame her. And you see stories like this all the time. She made her 13-year-old daughter stand on a street corner.
Love it.
Holding a sign reading, "I steal from my family."
Oh, man.
Figuring that would be the way to publicly shame her. Just last year in Florida, a woman made her 15-year-old son stand on a street corner wearing a sign that displayed his low GPA, saying, "Look, It's shame. It's embarrassment. It's humiliation. It will be a lifelong memory for him. And, of course, others will argue, hey, it's too damaging. It's not the type of thing you want to put your kid through. But, parents do get frustrated, and they want to make a message stick. And sometimes they come up with creative ways to do it.
So we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're talking about creative and unusual punishments. Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa. I got caught smoking cigarettes when I was 16. My dad thought a fitting punishment was to go to the store, buy a pack, and make me smoke the whole pack in one sitting. Mm. I was almost in tears, but I learned my lesson, says Jay in Anaheim. Dear Kevin and Bean, Chris writes in, my parents were super religious. I had lied about my grades. My punishment was to look in the index of the Bible for any verse that referenced lie, liar, lies, lying, honest, or deception. And then I had to copy each verse onto a piece of paper 10 times. That was a lot. It took me 4 days after school to finish. I really don't read the Bible much anymore.
That's what that did.
That's crazy.
That probably wasn't your parents' goal either. Let's go to calls now with Vinny on line one, and you can call if you were the victim of a cruel or creative unusual punishment. 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Vinny.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Vinny?
What did you do first, and then what was the punishment?
All right. So I was about 12 years old, and some girl I had started seeing at the time to convince me to go see the Grateful Dead.
Okay.
And so I ran away to Arco Arena to go see the Dead.
Okay.
Needless to say, I get back home 3-4 days later, all messed up, and Mom had thrown everything that I had out. Posters off the wall.
You were gone for 3 or 4 days?
At 12?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you go to a Dead show, first of all.
So, yeah, looking back.
Where was all your stuff? Was it just in the garage or was it out on lawn?
No, she had thrown it in the dumpster and the trash had come and
thrown
the
away, gone.
Already. I mean, everything. The bed was gone. Oh. I got carpet and walls. She says, we're going to the Salvation Army. I'm going to get you a rollaway cot and that's what you're going to have for the next 6 months.
Did it work?
No, not really.
Okay, good. Thank you, Vinny.
She should have just locked the door.
That's not it.
Let's talk to Mark on line 4 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mark, thank you for calling. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to the show.
What's going on?
Hey.
Hi, Mark.
Talking about weird punishments that your parents gave you. What'd you do, and then what did they do?
When I was in the 6th grade, a girl had kind of made me mad one day, so I wrote her a letter with every cuss word I could think of and decided not to give it to her. Left it in my pants pocket, and my dad decided to do laundry that day. He finds this letter, and I was at a friend's house. He called me, told me to come home. I walk in the living room. He's got 2 chairs facing each other. Tells me to sit down and that he was going to teach me a lesson to eat my words. And I had to eat the entire letter right there in front of him.
Oh, my God.
He made me rip it up in little pieces, and he said, I don't ever want your mother to see this letter, find this letter, know about this letter, that you would even talk that way. So you're going to eat that whole letter. So I had to break it up in little pieces.
Sweet.
Swallow it down. Yeah, wow. I never did that again.
You're the only person in history that's ever pooped out curse words. That's pretty cool.
Thank you for the call.
Lee writes in, guys, I couldn't call in since I'm driving to work. In my junior year of high school, my mom found out that I ditched one day to go snowboarding. Well, she decided to take a week's worth of vacation so she could accompany me to school for the entire week. She sat in on all of my classes, with me to have lunch. Needless to say, I was so embarrassed by that I never ditched school again. Can you imagine what it would be like if you're, what did she say? She was a junior in high school and your mom is going everywhere with you for an entire week at school.
That's funny.
That is amazing.
That seems bad.
And it worked. She said she'd never ditch school again. Thanks for making me relive this embarrassing moment. Thank you, Lee. Well done.
Let's talk to Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
What did you do first, and then what did your parents do?
So I threw a party, and my dad had found out about it, but he didn't let me know for 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks later, he's like, oh, by the way, that party that you threw, I knew about it, and your punishment is to take this toothbrush and scrubby pad, and you have to detail my van, like shampoo it on the inside.
He had a full-size van, and you got a toothbrush.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And I was like, I thought I had gotten away with the party.
Because it's 2 weeks later, right?
Yeah. But no, a friend got in trouble and ratted me out and called my dad, like, right away.
Stupid
so my dad
friend.
Was just sitting on the punishment for 2 weeks, and he knew, like, grounding me, big deal. But it took me all weekend to detail the van.
Now, did it work? Did you never do it again, never have a house party again without permission?
Because And my dad, I mean, like, when he gets mad, he's really mad. So I was like, oh, dang, you know? So I didn't really do it again.
It was more that he was angry than it was that you had to detail his van.
Yeah, and then the inside joke became, hey, Linda, do you want to do something again? Because we got this you can clean, sure. We have this you can clean. So.
That's fantastic. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Brian Deegan is a true pioneer of freestyle motocross. He knows to stay on top of the sport, the price can be enormous. You've heard the saying, put your life on the line. For Deegan, this has become a way of life.
Backflip from the last time when I crashed and lost my kidney, so it's pretty cool.
I'm dying. Like, I felt in my head, I knew I was dying.
And I'm jumping over four sharks.
Deegan with the 360 on a 250 dirt bike.
I love Supercross. My life was Supercross for a long time.
The doctor says, is there anything you want to say, you know, to your family? I'm like, because I was probably, he's telling me I was going to die. And I just remember getting, when I got put under, I was like, please God, if I live through this, you know, I'll never be bad again.
Yeah, I think where I am today is like, I've always had goals of being the best, of winning the most medals. I've raced trucks for over a year now, got me into the four wheels.
The man himself from the Metal Militia, Brian Deegan.
I feel like Brian Deegan lied to God. What do you feel like, Pete?
I think absolutely. You're right about that, yeah. There's no way he's ever going to stop doing crazy, stupid stuff. And Brian Deegan is back, this time driving a monster truck at the Monster Jam at Dodger Stadium this Saturday night. Tickets as low as $10. Available through Ticketmaster. Brian, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I'm going to have to update your guys' little intro thing, man. I got done a lot since then.
All right. We'll update it.
We'll take care of that for you. Brian, it is always great to have you on because you are always doing new things. And this monster truck, look, I'm going to be frank with you and tell you that I don't get it, but it's been popular for decades, these monster trucks. People love these monster trucks. Is this something that you had some interest in and are just now getting around to exploring personally?
Yeah, I think so. You know, as a kid, you always kind of dream of, you know, smashing stuff. And it's like, as I get older, you know, I've done a lot of stuff in my career professionally, and it was time to have some fun. You know, when I got an offer to drive a monster truck, put a Metal Militia monster truck in Monster Jam, which I thought was super cool, and I went out and drove the truck, and it's probably one of the top five funnest things I've done so far.
Explain the truck to us.
Well, it's a 10,000-pound piece of machinery, massive wheels. The wheels are so big, and that's what kind of saves you out of a lot of the crashes. And it's 1,500 horsepower. The motor is so powerful, it makes the truck wheelie out of the turns. And you can pretty much run into anything and smash it. So they just pack these motorhomes and buses. And it is intimidating the first few times coming up to it and just running it over. But once you do it, you know, once you get going, it's just awesome.
1,500 horsepower. I don't want to get past that. That's ridiculous. The tires are 66 inches tall, guys, if you can picture that. It's a 12-feet tall thing. How much involvement do you have in the specs of this thing, of it actually being built, Brian?
Well, the monster trucks, you know, they've been around for a long time. And I came in and I had I did the design on my truck, the whole look of the truck, and, you know, actually requested a certain type of chassis, a lower motor, so the truck handles better, more like what I'm used to with the truck racing. You know, front lockers, so it's four-wheel drive, so the front wheels always are locking,
right,
and gripping. Just little things that I knew from truck racing that I had them specifically make my truck. And I had them do the suspension progressive so I can catch bigger air and not land so hard. So, you know, definitely dialed it in.
Yeah, it seems like you feel a lot safer, of course, in this truck than you would on a motorcycle. Do you find yourself doing ridiculous things in the truck just because it feels like you're indestructible?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I looked at some of the jumps my first show in Phoenix, and I'm like, there's no way you're going to be able to jump that. It's too far, too big. And I seen one of the guys do it, and I'm like, all right, well, now you have to do it. It's something I would never jump in a dirt bike. And those things go higher than you can jump a dirt bike, which is pretty unbelievable.
Really?
That is hard to believe. Really?
Way higher.
Wow.
Wow. Now, do you feel like a transformer when you're up in one of those things?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because you're just strapped into this big piece of metal, and you just kind of have trust in the truck that you're going to be safe, but you never really know. You know, you're strapped into something with methane and just blowing fire out, so it's pretty crazy.
And how does it work? And again, we're talking to Brian Deegan here on the Kevin and Bean Show about the Dodger Stadium Monster Jam that's going to be Saturday. How does it work? Is there a winner at the end of the night?
Yeah, there is, you know, and I think maybe back in the day people thought it was kind of rigged or this, that, and, you know, Graham Digger's going to win, and I think nowadays it is more of a competition. You go out and race, and it's straight up the fastest guy wins the race, and then you go out and you do the freestyle. At the end of the night, you just put in the best run, the best jumps, you kind of build toward the end and leave your biggest stuff for the end in case you break your truck or destroy it. And it has actually a strategy, and when you jump the truck, you actually hit the brakes and time stuff and downside, and a lot of the moto skills come in. So, you know, the best driver really does win the event, usually. It is judged, so, you know, they always have the judging system, but in the end, you know, if you drive the best, you should be able to win the event.
Dodger Stadium Saturday, like Bean said, the tickets are $10. $10 for kids, $20 for adults. That's pretty good. Tell us about the party in the pit. What is that?
Yeah, so you can go to Ticketmaster, you put in the code Militia and get a discount, and there's a Militia compound you can actually sit in. And I've been pumped. You know, Militia's actually got taken on into Monster Jam, and the fans love it, and they're actually making us into one of the top trucks that the fans are. And so they do a pit party earlier that starts around 3 o'clock for like 2 or 3 hours down on the floor if they come early and get autographs and from all the drivers. It's pretty cool, something that, you
check
know,
out the trucks up close, right?
Yeah, you get to, you know, walk right up to the truck, check them out, and meet all the drivers, so it's pretty cool.
That is cool. Hey, Brian, and you've always been super accessible to your fans. I mean, that's one of the great things about all the sports you've been involved in, is it's very fan-friendly. What? How much gas can you hold in your truck, and how many miles per gallon do you get?
In the monster truck?
Zero, right?
Yeah, that's funny. That's a good question. I'm going to have to figure that out because you're not the first to ask that one. I'm going to have to figure that one out. But I'm guessing, I mean, it's about a 10-gallon tank, and I'm guessing it's about less than a mile a gallon.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. I mean, let's face it, you go out of your way to make the thing as big and as heavy as possible. It's going to take an awful lot of fuel in order to move that thing around at the stadium. I imagine you burn through whatever gas you've got in the course of a night, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You go through a full tank there, and they actually have to bring them out and refill them at some point. So, you know, I'm guessing it could be like 0.25, you know, miles per gallon.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, so that's a good question. I'm going to figure that out.
Look, gas is plentiful and it's cheap, man, so go for it.
It's all about the, you know, the environment for sure.
I did want to ask one question about the Revolver magazine Golden Gods. I've never been up for a Golden God before in my life. What's that like?
I can't believe that, man. That's actually a big awards thing for rock and roll, which is cool to see they're still keeping that alive. And so the Golden God Awards, they nominated me for Best Metal Athlete, and you can go on and vote at Revolver Mag, Metal Gods, or Golden Gods / vote, and vote for me, and it'd be cool, you know, come out there and represent. I'm against like 3 or 4 other guys that are in ball sports or this or that, so it'll be kind of a cool honor. I got to hang out yesterday at a press conference with Alice Cooper and a few of the other, you know, head rock guys, so that was cool for me.
But then if you win, will we have to call you Golden God Brian Deegan?
That'd be pretty cool title. You know?
Well, listen, you want to buy your tickets for Dodger Stadium to see the Monster Jam this Saturday night. You can catch up with the Golden Gods and everything else that's going on in Brian's world at briandeegan.com or metalmilitia.com. It's always a pleasure to have you on, man. Have fun this weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Dr. Drew joins us coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Next hour, by the way, the beautiful Kat Corbett is going to be filling in for Ralph Garman for the Showbiz Beat. It's us. You're stuck with us this time. I have something that's going to blow your mind, you guys.
All right.
Now that Skrillex has won 3 Grammys as a result of last weekend's ceremony.
Yeah.
I thought this was fascinating. A website called digitalmusic.com has posted a list of artists who have never won a Grammy. Now, you think about the Grammys as being, they don't always get it right, but let's face it, if you've got a long and lengthy and successful career, at some point it seems like most of the biggies have won the Grammys. And the Beatles have won Grammys, and Elvis has won Grammys, and most of the biggies win Grammys, right?
It does lean heavily toward older artists.
Sometimes it does. Yeah. I mean, you certainly wouldn't know that from this year, for instance, you know, in terms of the people who won awards. Here's, let me just read some of the names, again, the category. People who have never won even one Grammy.
Okay.
All right? The Doors, for instance. I mean, let's talk about an unbelievably successful, multi-million-selling, critical, commercial acclaim, popular, influential band, The Doors. All right? Queen, Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin.
Oh, wow. That's shocking.
The Who, Tupac Shakur, Snoop Dogg. Now, how is Snoop Dogg...
Especially since they have so many rap categories now. How has Snoop Dogg not won a Grammy in the last 15 years that he's been, you know, unbelievably influential and popular?
That's weird.
Bjork, that's Chuck Berry, The Grateful Dead, Diana Ross, The Beach Boys, Bob Marley, Janis Joplin, The Notorious B.I.G. Had Enough yet, by the way?
Wow, that's crazy.
These are people who have never won a Grammy. Rush, Run DMC, Guns N' Roses, The Talking Heads, The Ramones, Boston, Public Enemy, The Sex Pistols.
Public Enemy!
Public Enemy, exactly,
that's
right?
Bullshit.
I mean, it goes on and on. Creedence Clearwater Revival, Motley Crue, Kiss, Journey, Deep Purple, Jackson Browne, The Pretenders. I mean, it sounds like I'm naming, hey, who are the biggest artists of the last 50 years, right?
Yeah.
Whatever kind of music you're into, you can find something to be outraged by. The Kinks, Morrissey, The Smiths, ABBA, Oasis, ZZ Top. I mean, it's just, it's insane how many people have never won a Grammy. Wow. It was just very eye-opening.
And then other people will win eight.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
The last year I did the announcing for the Grammys, they came in and gave me an update six different times because of Stevie Wonder. Because I was going to announce Stevie Wonder. And they said, okay, it's 19. Okay, now it's 20. And then they would come in 5 minutes later and go, 21, 22. He's got like 26 Grammys.
Right, exactly, yeah. And then you look at some of these other people that, I mean, are just as big, just as influential, just as popular, have never even won one. So it does kind of put the comprehensiveness, perhaps, of the Grammys in perspective. But I thought that was an interesting list, and if you want to share that with anybody or look at it yourself, it's digitalmusicnews.com.
The headline is Kim Kardashian and Reggie Bush together in Beverly Hills. The story, Kim Kardashian has reunited with her ex-boyfriend Reggie Bush. The response from Reggie Bush, two words, hell no.
Really?
He's saying, not only no, it's not the case, but hell no.
Oh my God, the world has turned on her.
That's funny. Here's a great story involving British TV chef Jamie Oliver, who I guess, is he the one that did that Seacrest show where he was going into high schools and trying to change their lunch menus to be healthy or something like that? The food revolution.
I can't watch chef shows. I just can't do it.
Well, he's got a new restaurant getting ready to open in Manchester, England. He bought a building there that was formerly a bank, and they found out as they were doing the renovations that there were hundreds of safe deposit boxes in the basement of this building. Now, how the bank moved out at some point and didn't, alert people that their safe deposit boxes needed to be cleaned out, I don't know. But he bought this building, which means he owns everything in it, and there was so much crazy stuff in these safe deposit boxes that they were not able to find owners of that now Jamie Oliver is the rightful owner of.
Wow.
In fact, totaling $1.7 million, jewelry, gold, weapons. The craziest thing that he found is really interesting to me, and it's the master tapes of recordings from Joy Division and New Order, who, of course, you know, were based in Manchester and I'm sure recorded nearby. And somebody thought, hey, let's make sure these are safe forever and put them in the bank vault. Well, at some point, they should have alerted them the bank was closing down and moved that stuff out.
Going twice.
Yep. This is the best episode of Storage Wars ever, isn't it? And I'm sure that that's the type of thing that they can easily track who the rightful owner is and they'll give them back. I'm sure that Jamie Oliver now doesn't own those. He'll return those. But it is crazy what a gold mine, literally a gold mine, he ended up with all this stuff in a building that he bought.
Do we believe that Steven Tyler is engaged? I've seen the story. We've talked about it.
Yeah, he's engaged. Absolutely.
He's engaged to Erin Brady.
Yes.
Engaged. According to Perez Hilton, they spotted Aerosmith driving through West Hollywood with dozens of red roses filling up his black Porsche. Doesn't he seem like the kind of guy who, I don't know, maybe marriage isn't for him? Don't you think?
I don't know.
I mean, don't you feel like he spent his life banging?
But maybe that's it. Maybe
he's done? No guy's done.
Well, it doesn't mean...
You know what I mean?
So when he gets married, he doesn't get to have sex anymore? Well, is that what you're suggesting?
I'm just suggesting he's had...
That's been my experience.
He's had women...
I want to know about Kevin.
...in every city he goes to.
Right.
But that might get old, Kevin.
I don't think so.
And especially when you're getting old.
I don't think
that
gets old.
Maybe you can't really...
I can't put myself in that position, but I can't imagine that getting old.
Keep up.
Anyway. I got to have sex with another 20-year-old again today.
There's two of them. What am I going to do?
So tired. And finally for me, I love this story because stars are just like you, kids. Julia Roberts shows up to buy some cupcakes at a store recently. It doesn't say what city it's in, but she is asked to show her ID when she wants to charge it, right? They ask for her ID. Well, she had to run out to her car to get it, but she still had some issues because I guess the credit card that she was using was actually in her husband's name, so her ID didn't match. You've probably been there before.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Her had her husband's name on it, and her ID didn't match, so they couldn't accept it, which is weird because she's Julia Roberts, and it's pretty obvious who she is, and who doesn't know who Julia Roberts is?
I don't know. Give me some ID. You look shady.
Who sends Julia Roberts out to the car to get an ID, okay? You can ID Julia Roberts, for God's sakes, lady at the cupcake counter. Anyway, she eventually was able to piece together enough cash to buy her purchase, to buy the cupcakes and leave. But apparently she was not pleased about it, was not happy about it, even though that's what had to be done.
Do you think she had to go back out to the car and start looking for change like I do all the time?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a quarter here, and then you can add up to be enough.
A little humbling.
Celebrity birthdays actor Jeremy Bullock, who was Boba Fett in The Empire Strikes Back, is 67. You wouldn't recognize him because he was wearing a suit. Mm-hmm. Actor William Cat, the greatest American hero, 61. Actor LeVar Burton, of getting run over by a van fame. Is that him?
Yes. He was in a car accident, right?
He's not the one. No.
I thought he was the dude that was walking.
It was Robert Guillaume is the one who got run over by the van.
Sure. Really?
By David Foster, wasn't it?
Sorry, guys. Okay. Rapper, actor Ice-T is 54. Guitarist Andy Taylor from Drun Drun is 51. Drummer Dave Lombardo from Slayer is 47. Rapper Lupe Fiasco is 30. And one of our favorite people of all time and multiple Grammy winner, drummer Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters is 40 years old, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
All I'm saying is that I think at this point Dr. Drew needs a doctor. I think he needs full-time, like, 24-hour care because he's going to have an aneurysm. I saw him on with Anderson Cooper last night. I thought his little pretty little head was going to explode.
No.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
I'm sorry. My head just exploded.
Look, you're a smart guy, and you're the voice of reason and calm, but last night I thought you were going to lose it, and I've seen you a couple of times this week on the HLN show about this Whitney thing, and it looks like you are, you know, you're screaming, hey, the building's on fire, and nobody's leaving the room, right? That's what it looks like right now.
That's what it feels like, being that. Thank you for saying that, because it's something that I've been struggling with for years, which is this prescription drug problem. And to have people focusing their attention on it and trying to explain it to people and having them sort of resist it and not understand it, it's very bewildering and frustrating. So, and in fact, also, Bean, I don't know if you saw when I was talking to Anderson, how many times he mentioned his own use of Ambien.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah. Go back and start with Whitney and what they're saying happened to her, and then what's making you so angry that everyone's not getting.
Well, that here's somebody with chronic, relapsing, severe polydrug addiction who has failed treatment three times, who has three different benzodiazepine medications in her bathroom at the time she dies, and is seen drinking with her friends who seem gleeful that this woman has a glass of champagne in her hand. This is a devastating failure, the fact that she is drinking. And everyone in her world should have been pulling her aside and getting her back to treatment. Not only that, the real big issue here is why in the world would any of my peers ever think it was appropriate to give that woman not just one, but three benzodiazepine medications, all of which are addictive and all of which contributed to her death, I guarantee
you. That's like Xanax?
Xanax, Valium, Librium. She had all three in her bathroom.
Wow.
So there are two separate things going on here, Dr. Drew. One is that she shouldn't have been drinking alcohol at all. And as you have pointed out repeatedly on the many shows since Whitney's death, she shouldn't have been out in public and performing at parties and things like that. She should have been focusing strictly on her sobriety because she was on a bad path. That's thing one. But thing two, and I think this is what confused Anderson Cooper on CNN last night, and maybe a lot of your viewers on your HLN show too, is that you're saying, look, when your doctor says don't take these prescription medicines with alcohol, they're serious about this. This is the type of thing that can happen. And most people kind of blow that off. Like Anderson said, he does repeatedly last night. Most people just go, yeah, what's going to happen, right?
That's right. Is that it can cause a suppression of your respiration. It's unusual, but it can happen. It also can be something that suppresses your ability to swallow. And so you can actually fluid from your mouth get into your lungs and you can have pneumonia. And the point is, it's not just, hey, if you take this medication with alcohol, you might act a little wacky or be unable to operate a vehicle. It can be really dangerous. I'm not saying one glass of wine or one Xanax, but two or three glasses of wine and two Xanax, now you're looking at trouble.
You know, it's funny because I am the only person here who went to rehab, and I went to rehab because I quit taking hardcore drugs, and I didn't respect how strong they were. I didn't think it would be any big deal. I just figured, oh, just quit them all because I'm tired of it. And I quit them all, and the doctor called me stupid. And I think part of the problem is they don't. A lot of people don't realize these drugs are way, way, way stronger than you think they are.
Way more powerful. And I'm sorry your doctor calls you stupid because
he's no, he stupid. Said quitting the way I did.
Well, he's stupid for not telling you that he was giving you powerful medicine.
He
you
told me that, Drew. He told me. It was me.
Maybe you are, but I'm sorry.
He explained it to me in great detail, and I blew it off because I thought, oh, how bad can it be?
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
See?
Okay.
Dr. Drew, tell me what it was like for you, because I really felt badly for you on Saturday night when I saw the news, and I learned it through Twitter when Harvey Levin from TMZ.com tweeted that it was official, that Whitney, you know, spokespeople were saying, yes, she died. I turned over to CNN, as millions of others did, and they already had you on the phone at this point. And it seemed like they wouldn't let you get off the phone. It seemed like they'd talk to you, and then they'd talk to Jane Velez Mitchell, and then they'd talk to an entertainment correspondent over here, and then they'd have a spokesperson for the police, and they kept going back to you. How long did they end up making you stay on hold? And what was that like for you Saturday night?
Well, when I did my final interview at 5 in the morning.
I
announced to them repeatedly that this was a bad idea, that I really didn't want to be a part of this frenzy, that, and I as a physician will be happy to comment in certain places, but to continue to be there just really was unsavory for me, and I didn't want to do it. I just thought it was awful. I said, look, I'll make the rounds Monday morning or something. We know more about this. And I've said what I said to Don Lemon. I felt good about that. Let me go. Mm-hmm. Hang on. And I must tell you.
Why did you hang up?
Because my bosses are there. Because the whole world basically started calling me going, what do you think? You got to do this. It's so important.
And of course, you didn't know Whitney. You didn't treat Whitney. You had as much information as the rest of us did. So it kind of put you in a tight spot, too.
Not only that, it just was not. I don't like that. I don't like the going over and over and over. This poor woman has died. Okay, got it. Check. You need to report it. Let the reporters report it. You don't need a physician there going over and over. It's just so, it just made me feel creepy.
Anytime something like that happens, they do 24-hour news coverage, and there's nothing new from the first 30 seconds.
And I get it, and I understand they have to do it, but they don't have to have me there, and I don't have to be a part of it. And I said what I had to say, and I felt okay about that. And that was it. But, oh, man, I was not happy about that, I must tell you.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I felt bad for you. I mean, under the circumstances, I think you did a good job because you were basically, I mean, you were the voice of reason, as you so often are, saying, look, it's very possible that this is what contributed to her death, but we don't know, and it's foolish to speculate at this point. And I almost get the sense that there were people who were kind of mad that you were throttling that back because they wanted it to be as sensational as possible.
I know. And you know, here we are. We're still, let's remember, buddy, we're still kind of speculating. I mean, we know she didn't have a discrete cause of death. I mean, the autopsy is done. There was no heart attack. There was no stroke. There's no pneumonia. So, I mean, let's face it.
And we've had the last 10 years of knowing that she's been having trouble.
So. Yeah, right. The overwhelming probability is that's what this is. Right. I mean, it's reasonable now to do that. But at that point, it was like, we knew nothing.
Yeah.
And that's so right. I just didn't feel right about it.
Well,
that.
Bean came in. He's like, I don't know. I feel bad for Dr. Drew. I think he was on the phone all night.
Pretty much. Yeah, by the way, it was my wife and I went away that weekend for Valentine's weekend because we were both busy on Valentine's Day. And let's say she was really happy with
it.
Oh,
I'm sure. She loved it. Yeah. You on the phone is how she knows you.
Dr. Drew, of course, has got his own show on HLN that airs weeknights at 6 West Coast time. And, of course, Loveline 5 nights a week with our friend Psycho Mike Catherwood on good old K-Rock. Life Changers airs on the CW weekday afternoons at 3 and 3:30. Dr. Drew, thanks for the time, my friend.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
We didn't even play that ironically.
That's for reals, people.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Please tell me why we don't talk to Ally McKay from Channel 5 all the time. Isn't she adorable?
She's adorable, A.
She's adorable.
She Ally. Does bizarre stories, B.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they have the story that no one else wants to cover, they go, Ally will do it.
I do. I do feel like every job they give her is the type of thing you would do to a coworker that lost a bet. Yeah. Ally, are you? What are you doing today? You're flying an F-16. What are you doing today? Something fun, right?
It was amazing, yeah. A place called Flight Deck Combat Center in Anaheim, where you basically get to go on these simulators, F-16 and a Boeing 737.
Wow.
And they give you glasses and a jumpsuit. What?
Okay, now how much better? Compare that to me, if you would, to yesterday, I guess, where you were dressed in a llama suit in a pen full of animals.
Well, thank you for noticing. And hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Here's what happened,
Allie.
We
were transfixed watching you.
Here's what happens, Allie, is that, you know, we're doing a show at the same time, but we have the TV on. So
sure.
I look up and I see you in your head-to-foot llama suit standing next to a bunch of llamas. Yeah. And I go in and I tell Omar, you have to watch Channel 5. Allie's doing some BS on llamas. She's got a suit on. I don't know what it sounds like, but you have to tell if it's any good.
Here's the thing. When you're asked to go to a place called Shangri-La, where you can take llamas on a trail walk, I say yes. But then when you arrive and they say to you, listen, we're going to start selling these llama onesies, like basically, essentially footy pajamas with llama heads.
Yes.
Here's the prototype. Would you want to wear it? Like, they didn't even get that sentence out, and it was on me.
Yeah, of course.
Because, really, how would you not wear that? Plus, it was cold out. And
that's how you roll. That is
how I roll.
Here's a little bit of Allie from Shangri-La.
We have all different llamas here. We have got this lovely llama who goes by the name of...
Bahama Llama.
Bahama Llama. We have got over there Pajama Llama. We have got the Dalai Llama. We have got Barocco Llama. And we have got Como Te Llama.
Yeah, that's all happening.
Como Te Llama.
I don't want to oversell what I do, but it's the closest thing to God's work.
It is. And here's what I love about you, Allie, because look, there are lots of people on television who are working. They're doing a job and maybe they don't want to do it. And the distaste shows on their face. I don't know how you're able to do it. No matter what they ask you to do, no matter how crazy it is, you seem to accept it and enjoy it. Like, how do you keep such a positive attitude when at 6 o'clock in the morning they make you wear a llama suit?
Did it make your bean?
No, I wanted to wear the llama suit. I'm not going to lie to you about that one. It was warm and it was toasty.
I think you'd be upset if you got a normal assignment.
I probably would. Well, they would never send me to, like, five-car pileup because I don't have that appropriate ship.
Right.
I'd be like, karma, you know.
Are you in television to have fun and to crack yourself up, Allie? Is that what you're all about?
Honestly, all I want to do in the morning is make my cameraman laugh. If
That's
I
it.
Have made him laugh, the day is done. That's why when I get emails from people like, are you ever serious? Dude, it's 2 minutes an hour. It's death, destruction, child molestation. Probably in a llama suit.
Yeah, in a llama suit and asking important questions like this.
Can I ride a llama?
Can't ride them. They can't take the weight on their back, but you can distribute the weight evenly on the sides.
Okay. And how fast, let's say a llama were to get away from me, how fast would I have to run after a llama to catch up?
Well, you'd have to be able to go 35 miles an hour.
That's pretty fast. I don't know that I'm going to worry about if the llama gets away from me, but I will tell you this, Allie. That woman lied to you. Bean had a llama.
No.
And they will spit at you.
They will. No, a llama will absolutely spit at you. It is not just something that they do to each other because they're fighting for food, Allie. And you didn't have any problem with them? There was no spitting going on yesterday, right?
None of them spit at me.
No. Wow. That's because
she had the suit.
That's because you look like them.
Yep. They thought you were one of them. Now, Allie, do you have, family and friends? Is this the type of link to this story that you would send out? Or is this the type of thing that you kind of keep under wraps and hope they don't see?
My parents actually watch online, and they call me and question my sanity often, and that's fine. But there's certain ones that I don't, love for the folks to see. The last time I talked to you, that was one I wouldn't have loved for them to have watched.
But that once they're tuned in, that you're their kid, man. They're going to watch them all, including you asking.
And I'm not going to lie, their poop does not smell. And I notice, and it comes out like little rabbit pellets.
That's too much information about a llama.
But did you gain any llama knowledge that maybe you didn't have before?
But I don't.
That's all I ask.
I'm just saying, I don't need to know if their poop smells.
Well, I think it's something that maybe you think to yourself, I wonder if it smells as bad as, say, horse poop. No, it doesn't.
I would never ask myself that question.
No, but I believe you would.
Kevin, what information is, man?
You don't know, man. One day you're going to be on Jeopardy or something, and it's something
I'm
going to
be on Jeopardy, Bean.
I'm just saying one day you're going to learn. They might have mentally challenged Jeopardy. You don't know, but one day there's going to be a question, and it's going to be about llama poop, and somewhere in the back of your mind you're going to think, oh, my God, I know that because I watched Allie on Channel 5.
Thank you.
Not I'm just saying. All right, what's your last clip, Kevin? You wanted to play a final clip.
Oh, that
was
the poop.
The poop, yeah.
That was the coup de grace.
Thank you.
I want you to know we don't talk to you often enough, but we do watch you in the mornings on Channel 5, and you are, I think you're right, you're doing God's work out there, so don't ever change what you're doing, okay?
Oh, and you guys know you've been my favorite for so, so long, and the song yesterday that Omar did for Kevin.
Yes.
That was the best.
My mind on the freeway laughing.
F you.
And I love you.
And the llama you rode in on. If Cat Corbett's going to be doing the showbiz beat, I don't care if Ralph ever comes back. What's the sound effect we're using for Cat between stories here?
Well, I think it's going to be the same as normal, but I think the actual bed is going to be different in that it's going to be...
Yeah.
Time for the showbiz beat with Cat.
I heard yesterday, Wednesday, was the nude showbiz report. That's why Brad Williams was pulling up his pants when I walked in.
Nicely done.
Everyone's got to do it. Lisa May, what were you doing with him?
Oh, I know what we're going to do. I'm sorry. Be nice. I was not aware of this because I was in the other room. What we're going to do between stories is not the normal sound effect. It's going to be the cat.
That's what I was asking for. Okay. Right.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I apologize.
That's very sexy. Right. That's the sexy me. So, have you heard? Stephen Colbert has been suspended.
No. Yeah, what's going on with that?
For
I
what?
Don't know much.
I don't think I can do this to sexy music.
I think we may need to give her the regular music.
Right? Really?
I think so.
Wow, what's wrong with you guys?
I think Kat brings the sexy plenty without the music.
Oh, no. I just don't want to report this story to sexy music because it's kind of bumming me out.
What happened?
There's really no word yet. Comedy Central has suspended taping the show. People showed up yesterday to see a new episode taped. They were turned away, said that the show was canceled for unforeseen reasons and that it would be suspended for a week, if not longer.
What?
And I went to the site and clicked on the ticket thing, and it says tickets are not available at this time.
Wow.
And there's no other word on why he was suspended.
Not allowed to say anything.
It could be suspended. It could be a personal, you know, family member.
I mean, where'd you get that he was suspended? We know that they're not taping the show this week, but do we know that it's because he's in trouble for something?
It just used the word suspended in the news report online.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Which, please don't turn out to be like a kid toucher or something. That will totally kill me.
That's not the case. Most of the time people are suspended, there's no reason for it whatsoever.
That's
no
been
legitimate
our experience.
Reason.
That has been our experience.
Yeah. As we know. But so that's really, really strange. And I'm sure we'll get more word as the day. This just came out like 15, 20 minutes ago.
How do the guys from South Park do what they do? And yet he gets suspended.
I'm guessing it's something that has nothing to do with the show.
Right.
Or it's behind the scenes.
Right.
What could it be? I don't know.
Well, I think you nailed it. I mean, I think he's kid touching.
I don't think that's the case.
Don't say that
about him. We don't
think
that's the thing. Okay.
All right. So the Foo Fighters last night rocked it for President Obama in a state in Holmby Hills, raising money for President Obama's campaign. Over 1,000 guests paid $500 each for this private affair.
Nice.
Wow.
I love that they quote a campaign official who reported what the Foo Fighters played.
A campaign official?
According to a campaign official, the Foo Fighters played Learn to Fly, Hero, Walk, and Everlong, among others.
Okay, good to know.
That's weird.
What a surprise. They did Foo Fighter songs. Thanks for the update.
Courtney Love. Why are you so
guilty.
Crazy?
Guilty.
Is she crazier what? Now than she was before?
Well, there's this ebook that has just come out called Courtney Comes Clean, which is claiming that Courtney Love's habits of hoarding killed her cat.
Oh.
Yes. Oh.
Real hoarding? Like the hoarding show?
Like, yes.
Really?
Like, I'm a collector, but she's surrounded by stacks.
Those of you that don't see the hoarding shows, it's floor to ceiling junk. You
hey,
can't
they
get
are,
through.
They are collectors. They just happen to collect newspapers and paper bags and old fruit.
And their own poo. Have you seen that episode?
No. Killed her cat.
She claims it was a mountain lion. But these facts that were put into the book were attained when Frances Bean was getting a restraining order against her mother. Remember that whole debacle?
Yeah.
So
she wanted to be emancipated.
Exactly.
Yes.
And she was citing that her mother, that Courtney Love, all of her hoarding habits. By the way, Frances is claiming it's her cat. Courtney claims it's her cat. So we still don't know about that.
I do. I listen to her daughter. Always.
They also say that Courtney's prescription pill habit
also killed Courtney's dog because she had them scattered about, and the dog died. This is what the book is alleging.
Not allowed to have animals anymore.
Yeah, maybe no children. Pets. Maybe not everybody should have a pet.
Where are we going to play out Peabody the cat?
Aww. Bye, Peabody.
R.I.P.
See you later. That's a sad story. Come on, meow, cat.
You can do something good and get something great in return. Garbage, you know, they're playing two shows at the El Rey in April, and they're offering up a meet and greet via charitybuzz.com on the April 10th show. So proceeds will benefit the Pavlov Foundation, which helps fight childhood cancer. But you get to, like, meet Shirley Manson, Butch Vig.
She's
all,
the best.
That would be cool.
I mean, they're all awesome. Bidding ends February 29th. Current bid is at $2,500 right now.
Okay. What's the rush getting this garbage album out so fast, by the way? Take a break, guys. Seriously.
Not so fast. We don't need five albums a year.
Step off the treadmill for a minute.
Look, when you're hot, you got to keep going, you know?
I guess so.
We have to do celebrity birthdays today. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to Boba Fett, Jeremy Bullock.
Yay!
My favorite non-speaking Star Wars character.
He's badass.
King of Mexico was about to kill me for knocking LeVar Burton off the list, but he's 55, reading Rainbow. Are you happy now, King of Mexico?
We don't go by the King of Mexico sensibilities here, if you don't mind.
He does have weird celebrity crushes like LeVar Burton that I don't get.
Oh,
he's a strange little fellow. Let him mouth off and then go, okay, King, good. Thank you. I'll take it from here.
Oh, I once saw him do Cop Killer. Ice-T turns 54. Happy birthday. Kevin, could you say the band that Andy Taylor is in?
Dren Dren. Yes, I can.
I noticed you said it strangely last hour.
That's our continuing tribute to the late Richard Blade, Kat. When we say Dren Dren, that's for him.
That's right.
I didn't know.
He died, Richard. It's a shame.
No, he didn't. No, I just heard him the other day.
Yeah, he's alive.
Those are just tapes. He hasn't done anything new in 20 years.
Drummer Dave Lombardo of Slayer is 47. And drummer Taylor Hawkins of the Foo Fighters is 40. I guess he celebrated last night at the President Obama fundraiser. And that is the showbiz beats.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kat.
Nice.
If we could get here in here any earlier, we would.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
Wow. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Phil Kogan, the host of Amazing Race.
Yes.
He's coming back again, which is a fantastic show. Mr. Movie Phone will be here with the Movie Beat. He can tell us about all the new releases in the theaters. We have Adam Carolla, who's going to be on Celebrity Apprentice on Sunday. How about that? So that is all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. And Kat will come back and do all of the showbiz beats starting at 5:50.
Oh, my God. No.
Is that correct? No?
Oh, can you imagine what I'd sound like?